about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Oh, good. You're here. You'll have to excuse me, though. I was just listening to the theme song for Family Matters for inspiration.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Hey, you want to make a prank phone call?
Ooh, prank phone call.
Most Tavern, Most speaking.
I'm looking for a friend. Last name Keybum. First name Lee.
Hang on, I'll check. Hey, guys, do I got a Lee Keybum? Come on, look at the stools. Is there a Lee Keybum?
Oh, my God, that's amazing. That's the coolest thing ever. Hey, I want to try.
Okay.
Most Tavern.
Hello, Mo. Your sister's being raped. Is that one?
And now.
Thank you for taking my call. This is Bob from Chattanooga. The hour is coming.
Our feature presentation.
The hour is coming. I think that's an accurate statement. Morning, everybody. It's brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:35. It's Monday, the 28th of July.
You sound terrible.
I don't feel terrible.
Well, good. That's half the battle.
Yeah.
late night? Late coming back from
Comic-Con?
Not
a lot of sleep.
It was a bit of a long weekend.
Yeah.
Fun.
What time did you get back?
I got back late Saturday night. So I'm all right. It wasn't last night. Okay. Yeah, all good.
Oh, you sound worse than when you had the full-on monkeypox.
How dare you?
Just saying. Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Bean.
It's Monday.
I know.
Get hit by any lightning yesterday?
I did not. I stayed indoors.
Okay. It's funny because you've been to Catalina a few times lately, and that's where that guy got killed.
I know. I actually had friends there diving. And I don't know what you do if you're diving and lightning storm comes overhead. Do you stay in the water? Do you get out of the water with the big tanks on your back? What do you do?
Yeah, good question.
That's a good question. Yeah. Actually, I think maybe the guy in Catalina, maybe he didn't die. He was the guy who got struck playing golf. I think he survived. It was the guy, one of the Venice people that died. But yeah, you're out there playing golf, and the next thing you know, you're getting hit by lightning. It's just crazy.
Yeah, that's weird.
It doesn't happen very often in Southern California, that's for sure. Hey, here's something else that doesn't happen very often. We were having a conversation at lunch on Friday, Kevin. Do you remember how we got on the topic of drug mules?
I missed that.
Yeah.
We were talking about drug mules.
Was that off there?
Yeah, like how does that ever seem like a good idea? And Bean said, well, it's better than going to jail. I don't remember.
Yeah, I remember we talked a little bit about that that great movie from a few years ago, Maria Full of Grace. But there was something in the news that prompted the conversation. I don't remember what it was. And then I see this. Here's a man in England, from Birmingham, England, who was working as a drug mule. He took off from – where did he take off from? From Antigua. And was flying to London, and he had 61 pellets of cocaine in his stomach.
Oh, what could happen?
That's crazy.
Right?
Well, what happened is one of them burst, and he recognized that it was happening. He started to feel it getting into his bloodstream, and he alerted his Virgin Atlantic flight attendant and said, I have a cocaine pellet that just burst in my stomach, and then he lost consciousness. So the flight attendant tells the pilot, and they divert the plane to Bermuda, where they have called ahead, and they have a medical team standing by ready to perform surgery on him, which is what they did. Then he's rushed to the hospital, and the drug, by the way, was 75% pure.
Ouch.
Whoa.
Right into his bloodstream. They fixed him up, and he was in the hospital for some time. And then when he got out, of course, he was arrested.
Yeah.
And charged with drug possession. Now, this is the most fascinating thing, and this just shows you how different drug laws are around the world. So the magistrate in his case said that there's no evidence that you were planning on selling any of the drugs in Bermuda because the plane was emergency landed in Bermuda because you were sick. You were on your way to England. So there's nothing I can do about that. So I can only charge you with drug possession. So he was fined £471, which is less than $1,000,
I think. Are you kidding?
And sent on his way. No jail time, by the way. Sent to England.
Most of the time, if you have a larger amount, they just assume you're going to sell it and they can charge you with that.
He was going to sell it,
yeah,
but not,
of course,
not in Bermuda.
Not there. That's so weird.
So, I mean, in a way, I guess he's just so fortunate on a lot of levels, the fact that he's still alive, but he's really fortunate that the cocaine didn't explode in his stomach as he was closer to England.
Yeah,
if they took him in England, that was what his destination was. So, I mean, don't you feel like there's I just feel like if this happened in America, they would figure out some way to charge him with something else.
Yeah, you would think they'd find something.
Something, yeah.
Yeah, but he'd be in prison.
In Bermuda, they're like, I'd like a shorter day. You can go. Just pay $800.
Seriously. The judge said, I guess you were lucky. There are lots of reasons why you were lucky, but let's put this down to luck. You should thank whoever you worship because you didn't come to the first heaven by dying, but you came to Bermuda, the second heaven. So very poetic from the judge there.
I like that he's using this whole thing just to sell Bermuda.
Exactly.
Hey, everybody, what a beautiful location this is for vacation.
Does sound like Bermuda is the place to go if you're a drug mule. 240 grams of cocaine in his stomach, by the way. Doesn't say what he was being paid. I wonder if at the end of it, I mean, they probably didn't let him take the rest of his cocaine. They probably took it all out, right?
That's what I was wondering. Imagine. So now he owes some people some money.
Yeah, that's true. So maybe this doesn't have a happy ending for him after all. Maybe he's going to wish he died on the table or something compared to the people that now he owes the money to. So anyway, interesting story about drug mules. We were just talking about that.
I'd just like to say, I think it's our policy. Let's not do that.
Yeah, I'm
right?
with you there. Absolutely.
Agree.
Okay. All right. We're all on the same page. Good. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBean Show, shall we?
What is it, son? What is it you wish to say?
We spent the weekend at Comic-Con, San Diego. Mm-hmm. Got a lot of interviews. We interviewed Daniel Radcliffe. Give you some highlights of that in a couple of minutes if you missed it. We have Harvey Levin from TMZ talking about the celebrities. We have Kellan Lutz and Randy Couture.
Oh, wow.
Talking about The Expendables 3.
Okay.
Greg Nicotero from Walking Dead on the program today. House-sitting disasters we're going to take phone calls on. You were supposed to watch somebody's house or somebody was supposed to watch your house, and everything went south.
Yeah, that can go very badly.
That seems to happen a lot. Comedian Joe Rogan in the studio today.
Awesome.
Always love to see him. And listener Nick, I don't know if you remember him. Hi, this is Nick.
I remember Nick.
For my birthday, I want... fill in the blank. And we can't wait to tell you what that is. Again. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat, Nick. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin DeBean Show at 5:56.
Monday morning, after the weekend that was, Captain Comic-Con steps in now with our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a new week. What's going on, Ralph?
Captain Comic-Con!
Now, are you the kid on the day after Christmas where you're bummed because you look forward to it all year and then it's over?
Yes.
Or... are you happy that you're not going to die because you're going to get a little rest now?
Oh, I'm not sure that that's not going to happen.
That's not a given yet?
No, I'm still taking my temperature.
Okay.
I'm still checking my pulse to see if I'm going down today
so
or not.
So a little of both.
A little of both. I'm always sad at the end of coming. I always do get the post-con blues, but I can't tell whether it's just that or exhaustion and dehydration.
There could be both.
I may need to check into some celebrity clinic for that because I've got both.
Or don't stop drinking. Just keep the party going. Maybe that's the answer.
I didn't drink hardly at all weekend. Drinking had nothing to do with it. I just was just running everywhere, doing everything, hosting panels, being on panels, doing our show, doing the Hollywood Babylon show, writing that show all weekend. It was manic.
A little manic.
But always a blast. Great time at the con. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend. Lucy, story of a woman who uses 100% of her brain. Or not Kevin, as I call Lucy.
Oh, how dare you.
Using 100% of her brain. Some people used 100% of their box office money to go see Lucy. $44 million made it number one at the box office.
I sort of have a boner.
Now, I was shocked to see how much money that movie made. How about you, Ralph?
I wasn't. I know a lot of people were looking forward to it. It had a lot of buzz.
I wanted to see that really badly. I didn't have time this weekend, but
I would have put my money on Hercules. I'll tell you, I was really surprised.
I knew no one really cares about the ancient Greek myths anymore. Well, the first Hercules with Kellan Lutz did not do well, and I thought this one with The Rock would do better. But I was surprised it did as well as it did, actually. $29 million made it number two this weekend. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes was third. The Purge and Planes, Fire and Rescue were the top five movies, followed by Sex Tape, Transformers, Age of Extinction, and So It Goes. Number eight, Tammy and Jump Street were your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Congratulations to Piper Perabo.
Yes.
We love her.
Yes, we do.
Star of Covert Affairs. She married her co-star of Covert Affairs, Stephen Kay, over the weekend. Got married Saturday night. Congratulations to those two.
Is he the blind guy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They've been a couple since they met working on that show, and now they're a husband and wife, which is adorable. And now she can lead him around and help him get places and stuff.
He's not actually blind
so
in real
great
life.
That she's not only a life mate, but she's also
role.
A helper, which is nice. So if you're Kardashian and you have to lose weight, what do you do?
Surgery.
Nope.
What?
Jenny Craig.
Nope.
So you can get paid.
What do you do?
Well, you're on the right track, Lisa.
I'll get paid.
But wait, you have what? To lose it on television, right?
Oh, sure.
Because
well,
if
sure,
you're a Kardashian, nothing happens if you don't do it on television.
Okay. Right.
Looks like Rob Kardashian, who is now 80 pounds overweight, is, according to Star Magazine, set to join the cast of season 16 of The Biggest Loser. Because I guess Celebrity Fat Club is off the air, or whatever that thing was called.
Fat Club members.
So he will join The Biggest Loser and shed the weight, according to Star Magazine.
Here's the thing, though.
Or quit like a big baby.
Yeah.
He could
this
lose
is hard.
He could lose the weight. But he'll still be a big loser, so I don't really know how that helps.
Well, good point.
See? Mm-hmm.
Maybe they should have biggest loser for the biggest losers. Today's celebrity birthdays, Elizabeth Berkley. She is 42 years old today from Saved by the Bell, and most importantly, Showgirls. UFC president Dana White's 45. Actress Lori Loughlin. She was on, I want to say...
Full House?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. She's 50 years old. And Garfield creator Jim Davis. Oh, Jim Davis.
Oh, you love that Garfield? Love it.
If I'm Captain Comic-Con, he's my arch nemesis. Garfield man. 69 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thanks for tuning in on a Monday morning. Our friend Joe Rogan joins us in studio later on today. And next hour, in the 7 o'clock hour here on K-Rock, we unveil the latest Breakfast With.
Ooh.
Hard to think of someone we haven't done a breakfast with yet, but I think you're going to be very excited. That announcement in less than 1 hour from right now. First, though, Monday means our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Hey, Harvey, good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys.
A lot of your people go to Comic-Con over the weekend. Is your office dragging like ours is this morning?
I was wondering who my people are.
I don't mean those people. I mean the people you work with in the newsroom.
You mean the Jews?
No. Now, like I said, I don't mean those people. I mean the newsroom. I just wondered if a lot of your reporters.
Yeah, some of them went. Yeah,
it was. I mean, it's crazy. It gets bigger every year, Harvey. It's just insane. You can't move in San Diego now anymore during Comic-Con.
I think it's really cool. I there's something about it that's really fun. It's fun to cover, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No question.
Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, one of your big stories this morning is at Comic-Con, a traffic accident, which usually doesn't make the news unless a celebrity's involved. What happened?
Well, they blamed it on the zombies. And this is a big deal now. So what happens is there's a guy driving his car through a mob of people. And there are a bunch of zombies there. And the driver is saying that the zombies caused a car accident, that they were jumping on his car. But we've now talked to some of the eyewitnesses who say it wasn't the zombies. There were two people unrelated to any zombie cafe cult. And they had jumped up on this guy's hood. And the car lurched, and one of them got knocked off, and then the other one started pounding the windshield, and then the driver gunned it to get away, and then kind of ran over the arm of the woman who was knocked off in the first place, but neither were zombies, and the zombies are pissed off because they're getting a bad rap for this, and they're saying that they're a peaceful crowd.
You do not want zombies mad at you. I know that.
No, you don't. So usually for like the zombie walk that they have every year at Comic-Con, they close down the streets. But this street was open to traffic and there were just a lot of people walking in it?
I guess, yeah. I mean, there was a car that was in the middle of this, so it clearly hadn't been closed down that well. And you know what happens when there are a lot of zombies.
Yeah, sure. I got to tell you, though, after being down there, Bean just brought this up off the air, with that many people, we're surprised this doesn't happen more. It does seem like... You're always dodging people.
But car accidents aside, it really seems fun.
It is fun. Hey, by the way, this is true, Harvey. Kevin got made up by the Walking Dead people to be.
Oh, my God.
He was a zombie over the weekend.
Yes, and
seriously?
But I caused no accidents that I'm aware of.
The same people that make up the zombies on the show?
Greg Nicotero was there with the.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Wow. Pretty cool. And Kevin didn't look that much different either. That's what the surprise was to me.
I started pretty much like I ended.
All right, one more story, and I did not think that this one was going to continue. I thought we had heard the end of it when Tim McGraw went on TV and explained that he slapped that woman at his concert the other night just as an instinct because she was grabbing his junk, but it sounds like there's more to it now.
Oh, God, I never for a second thought this thing was over. This woman, he never really said, it looked like from the video that she might be going for his junk, but he says that she was trying to rip his jeans. And when you look at the video, I mean, here's the problem. When you look at the video, it seems like she connects with a tear in the jeans that's already there, but he wishes her hand off, then takes a beat, and then smacks her. And that's Tim McGraw's problem, because he had already eliminated the problem and then smacked her. So she has now, of course, lawyered up. Uh-huh. And her lawyer supposedly has spoken with Tim's people. I mean, clearly they're looking for money, and if they don't get money, they're threatening a lawsuit. But she's also pissed off because she says that Tim is trashing her and, you know, has made allegations about her being overly aggressive and this and that. And she's saying, look, I was part of a crowd, and I love Tim McGraw, and he walked in on the catwalk in front of everybody, so everybody was doing what I was doing, and he slapped me, and now I'm getting trashed by him, so she's pissed off.
So do you think his defense doesn't hold water if she had already removed her hand from the jeans and then he slapped her after that, right?
That's textbook law, that when you eliminate the danger, you can't then get aggressive. It's just that's the way the law is.
All right, Harvey, you have followed so many stories with so many cases similar to this where a celebrity gets shaken down for money. What's your guess on how much she'll get if we ever find out about it?
Well, I mean, having already said that it's textbook law that what he did was wrong, I don't think he'd ever be found liable by a jury because I think that the jury's going to side with him.
But he'll pay her off. I'm asking you to guess how much he'll pay her off.
$15,000? Yep.
Boy, Tim McGraw is really rich, you know.
but you got to remember that the problem with a situation like this is he's got to hire a lawyer. That's expensive.
Right.
And by the time this drags out, he'll be spending five times that just on the lawyer.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I hope they do. Unfortunately, they usually just seal these things, and we never find out how much money changes hands, right?
That's right. I mean, it'll be a that's my guess is it'll be they'll have some kind of a confidential settlement. Now, maybe he won't do it, but I think he will. I mean, I think, you know, given the fact that he doesn't want to have a trial and he doesn't want to have a lawsuit where he hit this woman.
Right. Gotcha.
It's gonna settle.
The TMZ TV show airs four times a day on Fox Channel 11. TMZ Live airs at 4 p.m. TMZ Sports airs on Channel 13 at 11 p.m. And don't forget TMZ.com for all your entertainment.
11 a.m.
News. Harvey.
11 a.m.
Oh, thank you for that update. It says p.m. You're here. Welcome. Sorry. Gotcha. Talk to you next week, man. Thanks so much.
Okay, guys.
Thanks,
we'll
Harvey. We were in San Diego for the Comic-Con. We interviewed a bunch of people that we didn't have time to play. This particular twosome is part of a movie that it comes out mid-August, and it looks awesome because it looks loud.
Comic-Con 2014, the 45th annual edition of the convention down here in San Diego, the Kevin and Bean Show live at the Hard Rock Hotel. Expendables 3, everyone's talking about in theaters on Friday, August the 15th. Ladies and gentlemen, two of the Expendables are here, Kellan Lutz and Randy Couture. How you guys?
Good. How are
good,
you
guys? It's good being down here again.
Great to see you again. I don't even know where to start with this Expendables 3. Randy, I was telling you before we went on the air that, you know, you think with the last one, with Expendables 2, it can't get any bigger. And you've increased it by like 100%. This is the greatest action movie cast in the history of cinema. Am I wrong?
No, I think you're absolutely spot on. It's an amazing group of guys, and you look at two,
right,
and you think, okay, who are they going to add?
Right. If Wesley Snipes hadn't gotten out of jail, you couldn't have added him.
Thank God we rescued him.
You know, there's a lot of interest in that because this is the very first thing we've seen Wesley in since he's been back in the public eye. Tell me about working with him. There's a guy who's been in prison for 3 years. What's it like for him now all of a sudden being on a movie set and getting back to his old ways? Was it kind of weird?
He was great. He was great to work with. You know, I saw him in the gym almost every day. So, you know, I think he's back in, you know, getting back in the swing of things. And I think he was really happy to be there. So
powerful beard.
Yeah. Well, that was all part of the storyline.
And Kellen, let's talk about you. You're part of the new generation of Expendables.
Yeah, the rookies.
So it's you and Victor Ortiz and Ronda Rousey, right?
And Glenn Powell.
And Glenn Powell, right? And you guys are how do they bring you in? How are you all called into the mix?
Well, Kelsey Grammer plays a character named Bonaparte, and he is one who is a wrangler. He'll go find these guys, and Sly's looking for guys who just don't care. So, you know, he goes and recruits them, and he takes them on because he needs a new team. He needs to go after Stonebanks.
I was looking at that list of actors and actresses, and I could not figure out how Kelsey Grammer fits. He's like a mastermind. That's what he does. He organizes.
He's a former mercenary who's kind of a talent scout, basically, for mercenaries.
Yeah. I was going to say, I can't really buy him as a warrior or a hero of some kind.
You know, he actually does a great job.
Does he?
He's a very quirky character, and I think, he's perfect. He does a great job.
Now, Sylvester Stallone co-writes all of these scripts, and obviously he's getting help because these action sequences that you guys are coming up with are like nothing I've ever seen before. Were there any dodgy moments for y'all? There's a lot of damn fire happening. Right? That seems awfully close to you guys.
A lot of dodgy moments.
Yeah. Well, the only real dodgy moment I saw was Jason driving off the pier.
Jason Statham?
Yeah, you know, first day of shooting in Varna, and we're all the old Expendables,
right?
are on this truck being shot at, being chased, and Jason's driving. He's supposed to come screeching up so we can jump off and get on our boat. Thankfully, he did a run through,
right,
to make sure that the technical truck he was driving he was okay with, and the brakes failed. He went right off the pier.
Oh my God.
Wow!
Into the water.
What a stud!
We're all standing there getting geared up, ready for the first shoot. And he goes off the pier. We're like, did that just happen?
And then the next week we show up, we hear the story. We're like, what did we get ourselves into? It's like Jason almost died.
And Statham died, right?
No,
he's fine.
That guy's
a machine. He was a diver.
Yeah,
popped up, changed his clothes, and we shot it.
Kellen, you're a young guy who has to grow up like all of us, watching Harrison Ford in the movies, watching Stallone, watching Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah. What's it like for you getting on set and working with these guys?
It's exciting. You know, I don't really get starstruck, but just working with all these great guys, and I'm a diehard action fan, and, you know, Indiana Jones is one of my favorite movies. Braveheart, of course, one of my favorite. All of these guys. Blade. I was a huge Blade fan. But getting on set, and the one thing is, you hear stories about all these A-type personalities. And since there's been one and two, people have worked with them. So everyone kind of gets in your head how they're going to be. And when I got to set, everyone was just cool. On and off camera. Everyone loved what they were
doing.
That's
good to hear, because there
are
20 A-level, like, A-type personality people.
Who are all used to being the biggest name in the room.
Yeah,
no one likes sharing screen time.
Right.
No one likes being the, you know.
So it's kind of like check your ego at the door. We're all in this together. It's going to be fun for everybody.
Yeah, I think we're all kind of excited to be part of something that's so big with such an amazing cast. I think everybody was just happy to be part of it.
Randy, I asked you before, too, because most actors have to learn how to fight. You had to learn how to not fight.
Exactly.
Is that the same with Ronda Rousey? Did she try and break some arms?
You know what? She has a ton of great scenes in this movie, and they capitalize certainly on her judo background and her grappling background. She can execute some things that not a lot of people on the planet can execute.
I'm excited that she's in it.
They've caught some of that on film. So I don't know how many arms got broke, but she definitely slings some cats around.
I'm sure.
Who can do more?
Not real cats.
Not cats, right.
People.
People. Well, yeah. We heard the cool cats. I'm with you.
Champ, let me ask you this. Who can do more in the gym, you or Terry Crews?
Terry's a beast.
He is, right?
Another guy I saw in the gym almost every day.
Yeah. He's also a gentle giant. He's the nicest,
great,
sweetest guy.
Person. It's just so much fun.
Well, this Expendables 3, again, in theaters everywhere on Friday, August the 15th, is unbelievable. I mean, somebody said it's like the Avengers of action stars. Where else could you see Indiana Jones and Rambo and the Terminator and Mad Max and Universal Soldier and Zorro and Blade all in the same movie? It's just, and we haven't even mentioned, like, Jet Li, obviously. Victor Ortiz is in this movie. I mean, it's an unbelievable lineup. It just looks great. And the trailer says the final mission or the last one or something like that. But
please,
that's BS, right?
I hope it's
right.
Not. I've only done one. I want to get it up to seven.
All they have to do is ask, and you're back, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd like to point out before we go that Kellen Lutz has been trying to get his bracelet fixed. I'd say the whole interview.
My wrist grew.
And he's failing.
Well, thanks for offering to help. Yeah,
no
I really worries. Appreciate
no,
that.
I'm just watching. I'm having more fun watching.
We couldn't be more excited for films. Thanks so much for stopping by. Have a great Comic-Con, you guys.
You bet, man.
Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55.
We're going to announce the latest Kevin and Bean Breakfast with coming up right after the top of the hour. You know, it wasn't that long ago we did Jack White, and now we're going to be back with another big band, Tiny Room. Some interesting guests is at Kevin and Bean on Twitter today, Kevin.
Yeah. Jack Black?
Somebody suggested Weezer, which, by the way, we're about due for another Breakfast with Weezer. We did them a few years ago, but I wouldn't mind doing that one again, would you?
No, absolutely not.
AC/DC, terrible guess.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Could have been Sir Paul McCartney if Kevin hadn't cut him off.
Sorry.
Everyone suggests.
I'm good with that.
Weird Al. No, I'm sorry. It's not going to be Weird Al, unfortunately. But I think you're going to be pleased. I think you're going to be very pleased. We'll announce right after the top there and tell you how you can start winning your way in. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Monday morning Kevin and Bean Show.
Just saying, Jack White, Jack Black.
Right.
Sure.
But it seemed to have some balance to it then.
It does, and yet we're telling you
to do that.
That it isn't,
but I'm telling you to do that.
Right, but we can't just...
For balance's sake, I'm saying you should do that.
We'll work on it.
Then Jim Gray...
Okay, good.
Put Jim Gray in between Jack okay. White and Jack Black.
All right. I like it.
You?
No.
Then why'd you lie to me?
Something completely different.
Let's take a look at the top 10 box office winners this weekend. Lucy was number one with $44 million, followed by Hercules in its debut making $29 million. Those two films made up the lion's share of the box office this weekend. Then came Dawn of the Planet of the Apes with $16.4 million. The Purge and Planes, Fire and Rescue were the top five films. Sex Tape, Transformers, Age of Extinction, and So It Goes, the new Rob Reiner film, was number eight. Tammy and 22 Jump Street rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Heard you guys talking to Randy Couture there in that interview, and I was thinking about this story. Made me laugh. Let's say you're robbing a house.
Okay.
You're a burglar, and you're removing your ill-gotten gains from this residence when the owner comes home, and that owner is former WWE World Heavyweight Champion Daniel Bryan.
Yay! Are you saying is that good or bad?
If you're the burglar,
right?
That would be
bad.
Bad, I would think. Right?
Yes.
They spot him. They promptly drop everything they're holding and start to run down the street. Unfortunately for them, Daniel is not only big, he is also fast and caught up with one
love it.
Of the suspects and put him in a rear naked chokehold until police arrive.
Love it.
According to the authorities, the suspect, a Cesar Sosa, apologized repeatedly to Daniel while he was being held in the wrestling hold.
I'm sorry.
I was dumb. No, I'm bad. You're better than me. And the guy, when the cops got there, they found he was also wanted on kidnapping charges. So,
oh, wow.
It was a good bust for the WWE star and a job well done.
They should give him a badge.
They should. You a Stephen Bauer fan? I love Stephen Bauer. He can currently be seen on Ray Donovan right now playing Ari on that show.
Oh, yeah. Jack Bauer's brother. No?
He was also in Scarface, played Al Pacino's brother in that film. Anyway, great, very talented actor, and now my own personal hero.
Oh.
The Ray Donovan star is 57 years old, and he just brought his new girlfriend to the premiere of the movie Magic in the Moonlight last Monday. She clocks in at 18 years old to his 57.
Oh, no.
Man.
Her name is Lyda Loudon. And she describes herself to the press as a full-time wild child, an unsalvageable degenerate, a film, music, cigar, and espresso addict who founded a group called the Tea Party Youth at just 14 years old. She sounds crazy.
Well, look what the whore cat dragged in.
How dare
a
you,
a whore.
Sir. I will not slut shame this lovely
She's 18.
This
he's
lovely
what?
18-year-old
57?
Genius. He is 57,
yeah.
And she is wise beyond her years, my friend.
Sure.
That's why they make a good couple.
Right.
Just 39 years age difference, guys. Don't get hung up on the number.
Yeah, don't be so uptight, man.
I'm sure they have a lot to talk about.
Guardians of the Galaxy has not even come out yet, and during its Marvel panel at Comic-Con this weekend, Chris Pratt and director James Gunn announced that Guardians of the Galaxy 2 will be released on July the 28th, 2017.
I'm sorry?
July 28th, 2017. We've got a release date for Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
That's 3 years from today.
How are they announcing the second one before the first one comes out? That's
it's
crazy.
Just that good.
Huh.
And it's expected to be a big, big hit.
Ralph, were you at the Marvel panel?
I was not at the Marvel panel.
I heard that grown men cried. That Ultron trailer was so great.
Yeah. Well.
Well.
Grown geeks cried.
Yeah.
As they did with the small amount of footage of Superman v. Batman. That, or Batman v. Superman, I guess it says. It was shown at the DC panel early Saturday morning where Henry Cavill and Ben Affleck and Gal Gadot, they all showed up, the Trinity, Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman, and showed some actual footage from the film of Batman and Superman squaring off.
I'd like to have seen that. That sounds awesome.
By all accounts, it was some stunning stuff. So,
were they crying?
Big, big weekend. They were emitting some sort of fluid, but I don't know if it was from their eyes.
Okay.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Garfield creator Jim Davis.
Oh, you love Garfield.
He's 69 years old.
You should have some pasta today in his honor. Spaghetti or whatever it is he eats.
Lasagna.
Lasagna, that's it.
I hate the character and I know what he eats.
Sorry. All I know about Garfield I've learned from you, Ralph, I'm sorry to say.
From Ralph's hate.
Actress Lori Loughlin is 50 years old today. She of Full House fame. UFC president Dana White is 45. Elizabeth Berkley celebrates her 42nd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Breakfast with anyone?
The cast of The Wonder Years?
No, I'm sorry. However, Arcade Fire.
Yay!
Arcade
Fire, one of the biggest bands in the world, one of the most critically acclaimed, one of the most talented, unbelievable musical band with so many great songs. And they're going to be here at K-Rock. And they're going to be the Red Bull Sound Space. And we are going to be there. And we're going to be interviewing them. And you're going to be helping us interview them. And you're going to be not more than 25 feet away from watching Arcade Fire perform live in front of your face. It's latest Kevin and Bean Breakfast With. We just unveiled that information, and we start giving away tickets later this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, it's going to air Friday morning. I think we're going to have Breakfast with Arcade Fire. Friday morning. So this week. So you're just finding out about it, and sometime this week you'll be with Arcade Fire.
It's the Red Bull Sound Space, and it's a tiny little place. You're going to be sitting probably the people in the back will be 30 feet away.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah. Very exciting, especially right on the heels of doing Jack White. It's been good times there in the Red Bull Sound Space. So keep listening for your chance to call in and join us with Arcade Fire. All right, here's a fascinating story, and I don't know that we've ever talked about this topic on the Kevin and Bean Show, but sometimes somebody else has to be in your house, unfortunately. You have a babysitter, perhaps. You have a pet sitter, perhaps. You're on vacation, somebody comes by and waters the plants. They're in your house. Somebody house sits for you. Maybe you have even somebody staying at your house while you're gone.
Sure.
And you would hope that they would treat your home with a great deal of care. It doesn't always work out that way.
Yeah, sometimes it goes terribly south.
Terribly south. So we are going to be looking for horror stories of things that happened in your house with people staying there, or you were the babysitter who threw the party, or the pet sitter who blew up the kitchen, or whatever it is you did.
I was thinking about this over the weekend, and I realized no one's ever asked me to house sit.
Huh.
Yeah.
About
so
that.
Weird.
What a shocker. And then I was a little incensed for a bit. Hey, how come I'm not good enough to house sit? And I was like, no, that's probably the right choice.
And meanwhile, Chip house sits all over the place and never causes any trouble. No one ever complains.
She's just homeless, though, Bean. I mean, that's very different.
Yeah, she doesn't have a place to live. And the reason this came to our mind here recently, we want to take your calls on house sitting, pet sitting, babysitting disasters at 1-800-520-1067. Here's a story from over the 4th of July holiday weekend. Buffalo, New York. A high school student is hired by a family to watch their cats while they were vacationing in Costa Rica. Now, it doesn't say in this article if this was one of those deals where she just came by in the morning and came by at night to, you know, feed them and change their water in the litter box or something, or if she was actually staying at the house. It is not clear in this article which of these she was doing. But she was, you know, she did have a key and she was able to come in and out of the house as she pleased, okay? So they're in Costa Rica. She's a high school student.
Right.
The family returns from their vacation to find the sitter attempting to clean up the mess, but it wasn't the kind of mess you just vacuum up. Quote, the destruction to our house was considerable. There was human feces,
oh no,
urine, and vomit in numerous locations. Again, quoting, every floor in the house was rifled. There was broken furniture, and there were multiple used condoms.
Nope.
What the hell?
Can you imagine when she realized, oh, the owners are going to be home in 15 minutes. I got to clean this up. What a nightmare.
Under what circumstances does your cat sitter have parties where all the furniture gets broken?
According and why to the can't they just use the bathroom?
Yeah, right.
That's such a
exactly.
Good question.
Come on. Kevin, you've been to a lot of crazy ass parties.
Right.
You've never felt the need to poop in the hall.
I've felt the need, but I fight it.
According to the newspaper, some of the damage was even documented on social media. The family also said that about $6,000 in cash and valuables was taken from the home. There was evidence of drug use at the home.
Sweet.
Here's what I love about the cat sitter. She did offer the $90 she was paid to watch the cats as compensation for the damage.
You know what? You don't need to pay me. I'm cool with that. Are we cool? Are we even?
However, the family said that's not going to cut it. It took an industrial-strength cleaning to get rid of the odors of the urine and vomit, and we keep discovering more. I don't know that I won't open a box in my attic at some point and discover more vomit. There was vomit everywhere. Many of the attendees were students at some of the city's top high schools, according to the police. It is unclear whether the cat sitter will be charged, but prosecutors said the case will most likely end up being a civil matter rather than a criminal one. I mean, I guess you take your chances with the person that you decide to let look after your stuff or your pets.
Right.
And I guess you hope that you're choosing wisely and that they're just going to come in and do what needs to be done and then leave. But, I mean, you certainly leave yourself open for this if somebody else has use to your home, right?
Well, yeah, and if somebody... You know, let's say somebody wants you to house sit. You go over to their house and right. You realize you've got the house to yourself, so you throw a party. You probably invite 10 to 15 people, but then they start inviting and then you don't know everyone that's there.
Yes.
And all now, kinds of things
and
happen,
now they don't
right?
care who you are because you don't own the home.
Right.
Right.
It could go south really quickly that way.
I guess so. Lisa, did you ever babysit or anything when you were coming up?
Yes, and I ate them out of house and home.
just took all their food?
I rummaged through all the cabinets as soon as the kids went to bed.
Did you have boys over?
Because
it does seem like a pretty good opportunity.
Yeah.
You're out,
yes.
out from under your own parents' roof and at somebody else's house where there's no grown-ups.
I did when I was dog sitting, actually. A couple of boys came over.
See?
At the same time?
Well,
nice.
You know,
or did you schedule them an hour apart with a shower in between?
It's between me and the boys.
All right. Let's take one call real quick at 1-800-520-1067. Then we'll take a break and come back with your calls. We're looking for house sitting, cat sitting, pet sitting, babysitter sitting disasters, whether you were the person inflicting the damage or it was your stuff that got broken up. Rich, thanks for calling from Thousand Oaks. What's going on, man?
Good morning. How is everybody?
We're good. Thank you.
Went on vacation, went up to Yosemite, excuse me, hired the kid across the street to watch our animals. While we were up in Yosemite, we got a text message that there was a rattlesnake in our backyard.
Okay.
So this kid, who's never watched animals before, first off, almost steps on the rattlesnake, almost gets bit. So runs across the street, comes back, can't find the rattlesnake. Calls the fire department. Fire department comes to the house, finds a rattlesnake, kills a rattlesnake.
Right.
Unbeknownst to the kid, my wife's prized rabbit was bitten by the rattlesnake.
Oh no.
While all this was going on, so about 2 hours later, the kid comes back to feed the rabbit. The rabbit's dead.
Oh.
And now this poor kid who we just hired for the first time is got to bury my wife's prize rabbit.
That is not what anyone signed up for.
God.
Now, was your wife's rabbit meant to be loose in the backyard? He lived in the backyard?
The odd thing is they're fully caged. So the snake struck it through a mesh wire and actually bit.
Oh, wow.
Bit it on the foot.
So not the kid's fault at all?
Not the kid's fault at all, but the poor kid, I find out yesterday when we got back from vacation, the father told me, hey, the kid never wants to babysit or watch house sit ever again.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, fortunately, you don't have a pet anymore, so you don't need a pet sitter. So there is an upside
now,
there.
What about the fact that you're married to somebody who has a pet rabbit? Does that bother you or had?
She had three of them.
Had three of them. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good time.
Rich, thank you for sharing the story. We appreciate it, sir. That is definitely unfortunate. And you know what? Even though that wasn't the pet sitter's fault, you still come back from vacation and you go, hey, I had a rabbit when I left.
Yeah,
three.
That's
no,
bad.
She's
now
still
I
got two.
Right,
still has
exactly.
two.
Come on. You got to look at a glass half full.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. I know our degenerate listeners have caused a lot of trouble when they have house set for other people. I know that they're out there. It's time for you to confess your crime. Oh, I never thought I'd use those words again.
Please don't.
Call. We'll take your calls next on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Kevin's interview with Greg Nicotero, one of the geniuses behind AMC's The Walking Dead, coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on K-Rock. He's in charge of the makeup, special the zombie
effects.
Makeup,
yep.
Special effects and stuff, too, as well as being an actor and a director and a whole bunch of other stuff. Very bright guy. That's on the way here at K-Rock. Joe Rogan next hour. And your tickets, the very first pair of Breakfast with Arcade Fire coming up in a few minutes, too. First, though, we're talking about your house-sitting, pet-sitting, babysitting disasters, whether it was your house or you were the one who was involved in the disaster. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's see the tale that Kathy is spinning on line two, please. She's calling us from Burbank.
Yeah, I'm not sure we trust her. Hey, Kathy.
Hey.
It sounds like a cover story, but... Tell us the situation.
Well, first off, house sitting and pet sitting is something that I've done for a really long time. So I have like numerous stories, but this one was the worst of all.
Okay.
I was house sitting for someone that I worked with at the time, and it was a couple days. And unfortunately, on the last day after I had left, someone had broken into this person's house and stole guitars and all of this stuff from the house.
So wait, you had already cleared out? You were done?
Yeah, I locked up, left, and I'm pretty sure I either locked the key inside the house, but someone had broken in through, it was a back house, so they had access to get into the place from like a rooftop of
right.
another unit.
Wow.
So apparently they broke in through a window that we purposely left open because it was hot and followed instructions and the house got broken.
I just want to clarify. You're sticking with that story?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Most definitely.
All right.
I am not shady like that in any way.
Now, did you have trouble convincing the people who owned the house that, no, I was already checked out. It had nothing. It wasn't on my watch.
Yes. And since I worked with that person at the time, they kind of asked around, like, oh, what kind of friends does she have? Like, is she shady like that?
Have you seen her selling any guitars on eBay?
Exactly. No. but, yeah, that was the worst. Just because, you know, you kind of count on people hiring you or asking you to do that because they trust you.
Of course, absolutely.
Not to do something like that.
Of course, yeah.
So,
exactly. All right, thank you, Kathy.
I never watched for that person again.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, it sounds like they made their decision. Appreciate the call. Thanks so much. Let's go to Janice, line six. Janice calling from Long Beach this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Janice. House sitting disasters. What happened?
Well, the house I was watching, raccoons came in and ransacked the place.
While you were there?
I came home in the afternoon for my work, you know, to check in and stuff and
right.
see how everything was going. And the owners there left like a little window open for their cat to go in and out. And when I came in the house, there was just stuff thrown everywhere. And I was like, did somebody break in? And so I started looking around and they had taken these giant water jugs that they leaved out for the cats to drink and stuff.
Right.
And they threw them all over the living room.
Oh, my gosh.
There was food thrown over. You know, the cupboards were gone through. And I started going up the stairs like, what the heck's going on in here? And there was like... it was the middle of the summer, and there was Easter candy wrappers all over because they had gotten into the closets and found Easter candy. So finally, I ended up in the master bedroom, looked in there, and on the bed, it looked like there was a fight club or something. There was cat hair, like all of the place.
I forgot about the cat.
Yeah, there was like the cat's collar was on the bed, and I was like, oh, my God, what happened? And I started realizing it was raccoons, and I was like, I thought the cat was dead. And so, I mean, I found the blood and everything, and I just kind of, like, started cleaning up. And I was like, what am I going to do? And I cleaned the house up, and I just prayed for when the owners came home. And finally, the owner's son had come home. And I just said, hey, did you see your cat today? And he goes, yeah, I seen him run by outside. I'm like, oh, okay, good. And
wow.
I just looked at that.
Oh, my God.
Dodge that bullet.
You know, what's so crazy about that story is that it wouldn't have been your fault at all, but you were the one who was watching the place, so you must have felt tremendously responsible for it.
I was so upset. I couldn't remember. I probably should have said something, because they probably thought, what the hell's wrong with this girl eating all of our Easter candy?
Sure.
And stuff.
All right. Thanks very much for the call. Let's do one more real quick. This is going to be Peter. He's on line four, Pasadena, and involves another cat. And I think this one has a sad ending, Kevin. Peter, welcome to the show.
Hey, Peter.
Hey, guys.
So an old girlfriend of mine was house sitting for their parents. She came home one evening, and as she's driving up, he sees their dead cat outside that was run over by a car.
Oh, no.
Yeah, totally. Black tabby cat. And so, you know, she's frantically calls her brother. They pick it up, put it in her trash bag, and they end up burying it in the backyard. So a week later, the parents come back. She comes into the house, and, hey, Dad, you know, I'm really, really sorry about the cat. You know, it was just, you know, when I came home, what the heck are you talking about? The cat's right here. They ended up burying the neighbor's cat in there.
Wait, so it wasn't that family's cat at all?
At all. It was somebody else's neighborhood cat.
Sucks for the neighbors, but sweet.
That wasn't their cat even a little bit, Kevin.
That's pretty sweet, though. Because your cat's still alive, right?
Right, right. Right.
All right. Best case scenario. It's a neighbor. You don't know the neighbor anything. They should watch their cat. Thank you for the call.
That is Weezer from Ratitude. The new Weezer album is coming out on September the 30th. And don't forget, they are playing the Made in America Festival coming up with Imagine Dragons, Rise Against, Sublime with Rome, and so much more. That's going to be at the Grand Park downtown. Tickets are still available. Speaking of shows, we just announced Breakfast with Arcade Fire Friday morning in the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock. Congratulations to our very first winner, Jordy Incoste. There's no way I said that name correctly,
nope.
Right?
I think it's Jody to begin with.
What did I say?
I think you said Jordy, but I don't know. But Incoste is
did.
No one's going to be able to say that correctly. So.
Huntington Beach, congratulations, yes. Jody/Jordy. You're going to be with us on Friday morning to see Arcade Fire. More tickets coming up this morning on K-Rock.
The Walking Dead, always a big thing at San Diego Comic-Con. They had a panel with everybody there.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
They released the trailer for the next season, which looks awesome.
Yeah.
And we were running really late, so Greg Nicotero didn't have time to really do a full zombie makeup on me, just whipped it up.
Mm-hmm.
But I got a chance to talk to him about the makeup and about the special effects and everything else that goes on in The Walking Dead, which comes back October 12th.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
It's been a while.
You having fun? It has been a while.
You look
good? I look good?
Yeah. Well, in my world, you look good. This is good for me.
But I started pretty much like this.
Oh.
Greg Nicotero, executive producer, special effects. Wiz, what do you go by these days?
People like the word guru.
Go with guru. I like that.
Okay.
Walking Dead, when it first came out, was really kind of more gross than TV we were used to watching.
Sure.
And then you see it the first season, and then you see it the second season. Now we're going to season 5. Do you have to up kind of the gross quotient?
Well, you know, we find ways to make those moments fit within the story. It's not, you know, a lot of people just assume, oh, it's a zombie show, so you're adding gore just for the sake of gore.
Right.
But it really does, as you know, like, remember the old Friday the 13th movies where it was all about just the special effects? And you never really gave a crap about who those characters were.
Right.
So what we really do is we tailor those moments to fit something emotional within the story so that the audience feels something. You know, in season, end of season 3, when Merle turns into a walker and Daryl has to kill him.
Right.
Norman, and I directed that episode, and Norman was, like, weeping during that moment. And I had people call me after the episode aired, and they're like, how do you get people to cry during a zombie show? And I said, because it's the emotion. It's not about, oh, my God, look, he's a cool zombie. It's about the sense of loss that he felt, that he never really got to reconcile the relationship with his brother. It is important that we don't want people to feel like the show's exploitive, because it has those elements, and it could very easily just be about zombie slaughter for an hour, but it's not, and we're very cautious about how we pick and choose those moments.
Best t-shirt I've seen down here at Comic-Con is "If Daryl Dies, We Riot." Have you seen that?
I think Norman invented that t-shirt. He told me that he's going to hand out matchbooks if he has to.
All right. Starting his own campaign?
He loves the show. The hardest thing for any of us is losing actors on the show. You know, last night...
Except for Carl.
No, Carl, listen. I love Carl.
All right. Me too.
But why do I not believe you?
Well, I saw the trailer for season 5. It looks awesome. It looks like an all-out bloodbath at Terminus.
It's pretty insane. You know, I directed the premiere... And, you know, I got the chance to pick up right where we left off in last season. And it's really the first time that we don't have an 8-month period between seasons where we have to sort of catch the audience up It was. This is my eighth episode. It was the hardest episode I've ever done.
Why?
Just the scope of it. You know, it's big, and it's got those emotions. You know, you go from a big action zombie set piece to this great emotional moment between two characters.
I got to tell you, as a huge fan of The Walking Dead, and most of our audience as well, you're a special effects guy, and you're focusing on the story, and you're using the special effects as an added bonus, yeah. And that's what makes the show so fantastic.
Well, thank you. I mean, that was the first thing that you learn when you do special effects, and I remember working for George Romero, and in the 80s, movies became all about the special effects, so they all were parodies of Freddy Krueger and the Halloween movies and stuff. They became more about the kills than about the actual characters, and I've worked with enough great directors to understand that even though you get on set and it's something I built and I want to see it, it'll be on there for 8 frames and then it's gone, and you kind of go, oh, all that work for that? Like Misery, we did the James Caan getting his ankles broken,
right?
And you're like,
Kathy Bates?
We spent like 4 months building that, and you just see her pick up that sledgehammer and go, God, I love you, and swing down. And I'll never forget at the test screening of that, Rob Reiner said, I never felt the oxygen get sucked out of a theater, because at that exact same moment, everyone in the theater went all at once. So like your hair would go so makes it, and that's when it makes it worthwhile. And I've done like the ear from Reservoir Dog. We put the guy's head in the vice in Casino. We've done the electrocution in the Green Mile. I feel like my company and I have been involved with some of the most iconic moments and in recent history. So to be a part of The Walking Dead and to continue that and have 20 million people a week watch our show, God, how do you even, I can't even fathom it.
It's awesome, and I think I speak for all the fans when I say thank you for doing such a great job.
Listen, and great to talk to you. You look, we gotta do a little bit of...
When do we start the makeup?
Soon. Soon.
Still fading, right? That's still fading. There's some sound there still.
Man, what
fading.
Does it take? What number would there's get you actually off your ass on the floor to the
still,
microphone?
That was still fading. I just wanted people to hear the end of the song, because sometimes we talk over the song and they don't like it. So I'm thinking of the listener.
Thank you.
Sure. Hey, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show on a Monday. Everybody is dragging a little bit as a result of the Comic-Con weekend just passed. But we're going to pep things up here because Joe Rogan joins us in studio right after the top of the hour. You know Joe.
Oh, yeah. He'll sure. pep things up.
He brings it.
He does.
He brings it. So Joe Rogan appearing August 1st, by the way, which is this Friday night at the Ace Hotel in downtown L.A. That is going to be a great show. Talk to Joe about that. Ralph's here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Some of my favorite conversations of my life happen with Joe Rogan in the office while he's waiting to go on.
Yeah.
There's a clarity about him that makes me go, oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's smarter than we are, too. That's part of it.
Yeah, but he seems to get it, and I need a little dose of that once in a while.
He's pretty much the opposite of me, directly.
That is true.
There's me at one end, and there's right. Joe Rogan at the other end.
Yes.
Everybody else falls in between.
Somewhere in between is Kate Upton.
Yes.
Kate Upton did an interview with Elle Magazine.
I want to hear what she has to say.
All right, easy, creepy. She said she felt terrible about herself after nabbing the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Why?
She went through a really difficult time.
Why? I felt really good about her then.
Well, here we go. Oof. Because every guy that approached her, she said, was creepy.
Oh.
Hmm. Like Bean.
Bean! Bean!
I'm not creepy,
was
by the way.
Either, was either married or otherwise involved with a woman and yet was still hitting on her because she was on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
It was a difficult time for her when the beans of the world descended like a pack of creepy...
God damn it, Bean! If you have to start a sentence with... I don't mean this in a creepy way. Then it's creepy, alright? It's f***ing creepy.
The creepy wolves descended.
I was
creepy wolves, by the way. Some of the true
great band. I was out the day sick. That Bean apparently told you the story of him pulling up to a hot chick in a car.
Oh,
yeah.
And said, "You're pretty." I was out for that.
Yeah, you did.
So be
wasn't even pulled up here, by the way. He was sitting across from her on the ferry in their cars.
Oh.
So she was trapped. She couldn't even get off the ferry if she wanted to. So
and by trapped, you mean it was completely a safe and non-threatening experience for
right,
her.
Right, which is how she took it.
You're pretty.
From what I understand.
She responded with a big F you, yeah. I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just informed of that over the weekend, so yeah. I'm still trying to process that.
So you didn't quite get the irony of him doing that at the Hard Rock Hotel in San Diego when he did that?
Oh, no. It was super creepy when he did it on its own.
There was a history.
I didn't realize the history.
Yeah.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
We were down there at Comic-Con this weekend in San Diego. A lot of cool information was disseminated this weekend about some of your favorite TV shows and
right
movies.
Right?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
It's October 12th.
Right. Blacklist panel. James Spader showed up to chat with fans and producers and James revealed that Mary Louise Parker would be joining the cast of that series.
Love
interesting.
Her.
Which is great news. She's going to have a recurring role in season two. Looking forward to that. George Miller talked about the new Mad Max film, in which Tom Hardy takes over the role as Mad Max in Fury Road, it's called, with Charlize Theron. Guardians of the Galaxy revealed that they will be releasing Guardians of the Galaxy 2 on July the 28th, 2017. And the first one hasn't even come out yet. And producers of the Godzilla films said that Mothra, Rodan, and Ghidorah will all be appearing in the next Godzilla movie. So we're going to be loaded up with monsters for the next Godzilla. There's Dave.
Did I hear they're making another King Kong movie too, Ralph?
I was just going to get to that. King Kong's coming back in a feature film called Skull Island. Which will prominently feature King Kong's home. In many of the Kong films, they always start at Skull Island. That's usually where they find King Kong, and then they capture him and take him back to New York or one of the big cities. And
right.
That's when things go to hell in a handbasket. This one's going to stay on Skull Island, and you will explore this mysterious and dangerous place. They call it.
That's cool. Now, forgive my ignorance. It's been a long time since I've seen the King Kong movies. He's not one of a kind, right? There's a whole bunch of King Kongs there, right? A bunch of giant monkeys there, right?
To the best of my knowledge, Kong is the only one. That's why the natives worship him, because he is like their god. Kong is a singular deity to the natives of Skull Island. But there are other giant creatures there, like giant boa constrictors, and even in the original 33 version, a dinosaur.
I'm in.
Still on that island. So it is mysterious.
That's not an island you want to visit.
It's kind of like the Lost Island.
Right.
In the sense it's got a lot of funky things going on there.
How long till King Kong battles Godzilla, I wonder the way we're going.
Oh. So good. Oh, so good. And can you put a politician in the file?
I guess we could.
I think we have to. I don't know if you heard about this or not, but the New York Times says right after announcement was made that Billy Joel was going to be honored at the Library of Congress for the Gershwin Prize for Song. They're putting many of his hit compositions into the Library of Congress, and he's getting a special government award for his work in songwriting. Speaker of the House John Boehner put out a press release to slam President Obama, called the 14 of our greatest hits on Jobs, using only Billy Joel titles to attack him. I'll give you an example. It's a longer piece than we have time for here, but it said, here's what Boehner writes. No, we didn't start the fire of uncertainty that has small businesses in Southwest Ohio and nationwide struggling under Obamacare.
I already hate this.
Yet the president just had to be a big shot, bragging about his policies when Americans are having a tough time. So, say goodbye to Hollywood, Mr. President, and work with us to help us grow the middle class and expand opportunities for everyone, from the piano man to the uptown girl.
I love it.
I know you love it.
Why can't I work for John Boehner?
That is so right up Bean's alley.
Oh, I want a job.
I want to punch whoever did this.
Press releases only in song title.
I want a job punching you in the face.
is there a job for that? So I'm going to knock you down to get to the HR department where they're hiring.
I hate that. Hate it.
Top 10 movies at the box office really quickly this weekend. Lucy was number one with $44 million. Then Hercules at number two with $29 million. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, The Purge, Planes,
Fire and Rescue were the top five movies, then Sex Tape, Transformers, Age of Extinction, and So It Goes, Tammy, and 22 Jump Street. Today's celebrity birthdays, Garfield creator Jim Davis is 69. The man who unleashed that unholy creation on all of us. His birthday's today.
Turns out Rob's not a fan.
Garfield. Didn't your friend Jimmy Kimmel do a voice of a cat or something in the Garfield movie?
I think he was Odie the dog, wasn't he?
He was Odie?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, he was.
It was Bill Murray was Garfield's voice in that film. Actress Lori Loughlin is 50 years old today. UFC president Dana White's 45. And actress Elizabeth Berkley, probably still best known for her Saved by the Bell work, but she was also in Showgirls. Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
Girl works a mean pole.
She does.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'm just saying, to finish our conversation, Mr. Rogan, not having to buy a shampoo is not a reason to shave your head. You understand that saves you like $8 a year, right? You don't really...
Every penny counts, Bean.
It doesn't cost that much.
I'm Captain Frugal.
The very bald and very funny Joe Rogan in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is back and appearing this Friday night at the Ace Hotel in downtown Los Angeles. This is the first comedy show at the new theater at the Ace Hotel. Kind of exciting to kind of break in a place, right, Joe?
Yeah, I'm very excited. I'm there with Joey Diaz and Duncan Trussell, two of the funniest people on the planet Earth. And downtown LA is really kind of changing. It's really interesting how it's got – it used to be this, like, weird crack haven.
Yeah.
Like, we filmed Fear Factor once in downtown LA. And we were on this, what do they call those things? You raise them up like they do construction. You know?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
The box. Yes, thank you very much. And we were on the cherry picker, and I was with the contestants. I go, have you guys ever seen anybody smoke crack? And they go, no. I go, look over there. And there's these dudes just sitting in this alleyway smoking crack while we were filming Fear Factor.
And then you're like, your next challenge.
These little glass vials were all over the place. Wow. They were like these little tiny crack vials. They were everywhere. Like they were.
Yeah, it's not like that at all.
Cracking. No.
I mean, it is some, but it's amazing.
Yeah,
the transformation
it's changing quite a bit.
Yeah. And where is the Ace Hotel?
I don't know. I've never been there.
Okay.
Is this the one?
It's
is
new,
it,
right?
Did you book this gig because there was going to be a UFC fight
on
the second?
Yeah.
At Staples.
Yeah.
And you always try to do that, but then that fight got canceled.
So yeah, it got canceled, so I just, well, I live here, so it's easy.
Why not, right?
The gig. We already sold a lot of tickets. So
you can buy tickets through LiveNation.com or Ticketmaster.com. Tickets are $39.50 for Joe Rogan this Friday night at 8 o'clock. Again, the first comedy show at the new theater at the Ace Hotel, and maybe you get a little crack on your way out, so maybe it's a win-win for...
I don't know if you can find any anymore.
Well, keep your eyes open is what we're saying.
Cleaned it up.
Yeah, it's like goats on the Galapagos Island. They're vanishing.
Since you were actually in town this weekend, Joe, what was your reaction? I'm sure you have some crazy conspiracy theory to the lightning. That was brought in by Obama, right? He had something to do with that.
No, I was actually, we were just talking about it before it went on. I was just telling my kids that people don't really die from lightning in L.A. Right when the lightning probably hit, because there was this thunderstorm. And my kid was like, what was that? I was like, it's probably thunder, but it's not really what you have to worry about in California.
Right.
Meanwhile, somebody probably died as I said that.
Which is, still a true statement for the most part, but it was an odd weekend.
You know, we gotta get Jackie Johnson or one of the weather people on to explain to me why this doesn't happen more frequently in Southern California.
There are
a lot of places in this country, though, where they get these thunderstorms. You're right. You don't get much rain, but you virtually never get thunder and lightning. Why?
Yeah, but that's 100% what it is. It's just it doesn't rain.
Oh, really? That's all it is?
Very rarely rains here. I mean, you could definitely have those weather patterns that create thunderstorms. They could totally exist here. Just our rain is so infrequent. We live in a desert. You're just really not supposed to live here.
But in Palm Springs, they get lightning and thunder without rain.
Do they really? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is it different?
God hates Palm Springs.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah. It's
but let me ask
days.
You.
There's a lot of gays down there causing Jesus to be angry.
Right.
That's what I heard. That's what I heard.
Let me ask you this, Joe, because you're a smart guy. You have an analytical mind. The very example for things that happen infrequently is, the chances of such and such happening, you're more likely to get struck by lightning. So that shows you how rare it is that you actually get struck by lightning. Mm-hmm. Having said that, if you had been at Venice Beach on yesterday when the thunder and lightning started, what would you have done? Would you have run for cover?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Or would you have just assumed, what are the chances it's going to hit me?
Well, you're talking to a guy that I think surfing is probably awesome fun, but I'm not getting in there with those monsters. What are the odds of you getting bitten by a shark? Probably pretty small.
Tiny, infinitesimal.
Not interested.
That keeps you out of the water, though.
If there was one werewolf that was out in the woods and there was only one, would you go out in a full moon? Would you say, well, what are the odds the werewolf's going to be in my neighborhood?
I'm sort of a what are the odds guy.
Really?
Yeah,
you say that until you hear,
I am. Right. And then I run.
But yeah. I mean, even look, it was it's a terrible tragedy. This guy got killed at Venice Beach yesterday.
Maybe. You don't know him.
Well,
he was
that's
in Venice Beach. The odds of him being annoying were very high.
Maybe
that's
a good point.
Think of that.
Yeah. I'm just saying,
just joking,
though,
if that was your friend. Sorry.
Yeah, there were probably hundreds of thousands of people along the Southern California shoreline yesterday at the time the lightning hit. So the odds still stand that it's remarkably rare to get hurt by lightning. Remarkably rare.
Yes, it's remarkably rare in California. But two people died just 2 weeks ago in Colorado on the same day. So it does happen.
Crazy.
By lightning. Yeah, lightning
and
sucks.
And a lot of people get hit by lightning and live, too.
Yeah, I have
that's
a friend
a
who lives.
That's a weird phenomenon.
But they're like, never the same.
My friend lived. He's the same, but he wasn't the same for like 6 years. He had a twitch. Like,
really?
Like
out of nowhere, you know somebody just, who got hit by lightning.
Oh, yeah. My friend Remy. Yeah, he got zapped, but he talked about it on my podcast.
Unbelievable.
He got hit by lightning when he was in high school, I believe.
Was it a direct hit or was
yeah.
it
got
a tree? And, oh, really?
He got boom. He got
what
nailed.
What does it do to your body, Joe?
Oh, he just shut off. He shut off and he woke up like who knows when, like, you know,
wow, how, like
he
how
doesn't
long
know how many minutes or whatever later. But he had no idea what exactly had happened and sort of pieced it together. And I guess he has a scar from it.
Wow.
Just got cooked.
That's a pretty cool scar.
I guess.
As long as you live.
But what if it's like on your penis or something?
Yeah. What are the chances?
What are the chances?
Well, what if you had an awesome belt buckle? And that's right
that's
with
a good point.
That's why you don't wear an awesome belt buckle.
What if you're a rodeo fan and that's right exactly where Jesus decides to hit you?
Now, I know you said you don't want to surf if there are sharks.
Well, I want to surf. I mean, I just got back from Hawaii and I was swimming with the dolphins, which
right.
is amazing if you've
it
ever
is
done
amazing.
It.
That's super fun.
Oh, it makes you want to blow SeaWorld up. It really does. It, yeah. it makes them yeah. just you, the I. Those are like people. Those things. They're
yeah.
so intelligent and fascinating,
and
just,
happy in the open water.
Yeah,
water
they
too.
Flip around. They're having fun, and they see you, and they look at you, and like you can see intelligence in their eyes. And I did it with my kids, so we put like goggles on and snorkels, and my 4-year-old was freaking out because she could see them below her.
That's
like
awesome.
Swimming underneath her. It's amazing. And
yeah.
the
Are
idea
your kids
that,
traumatized, or they had a good time.
Oh, they had a great time.
Okay,
but the idea that these they're essentially in slavery
yeah.
in SeaWorld. And because it was all done in the 50s and 60s when our parents grew up and then, you know, like it's carried over into this era. But to have that in 2014 is so inexcusable. It's just like having Slave World. Their cerebral cortex is 40% larger than a human being's. And our idea of what is intelligence is based entirely on their ability to manipulate their environment. And they don't manipulate their environment, so we don't think they're intelligent. But that's ridiculous. First of all, they speak in a language that we don't understand.
Right.
Okay, they understand us. Like, they do flips and stuff when we give them commands and hold up. We can teach them. But we don't know anything. All we know is that they vary. As far as like geographic location, they vary their tones, which we think are dialects. So they have accents. We know that they have very complex languages. They have a very complex social structure. They're very connected to each other. We don't know much about them. I mean, it's a really weird, weird thing.
It's
that
possible
we lock
that they're
them
saying
up.
To each other, "Oh, this guy's an asshole. This
could
this
be.
I hate this trainer."
I hope they're saying that.
Oh, I hate it when Rogan brings his kids. What a pain in the butt.
We had a guy.
They're peeing in my pool.
Wasn't a pool, man. We're in the ocean. We went swimming in the ocean.
Yeah. It's a pool to them, though.
No, it's the ocean, dude. I would never go to SeaWorld. I think it's disgusting. But
I think SeaWorld would be gone in when your parents grow. I mean, when your kids grow up.
I don't know
do.
About
I
that.
I think we're heading in that direction.
I know. I thought war would be gone. You know, when I was a kid, I was very young when the Vietnam War ended. But I remember very clearly. I was terrified when I would read about it. I was probably 5 or 6 or something like that. And I remember like reading in the news that the war was over. And my thoughts were, good. Finally, they figured out that war is bad. Like,
yeah.
we're not going to have any more war. And then we didn't have war again, like real war in America until I was in my early 20s. And that's when the Gulf War broke out. And I remember me and my roommate, Jimmy, were sitting in front of the TV watching this missiles. It was the first time you could see like
live.
War happen yep. live. And I remember thinking, I can't believe we're doing this again. Like, I thought we were done with this. Like, this is so stupid. And this is the same thing that's going on right now. I mean, when you see what's going on with Israel. Israel, and you're watching it in the news, and you're watching these missiles fly, and they're blowing up Gaza, and you're like, how is this still the only option? How is this still going on? So the idea that we were not going to have SeaWorld in 20 years, but we're still going to have war, because we're still going to have war in 20 years.
Yeah.
Unless the world gets on mushrooms tonight, unless like just everybody shows up, an alien shows up at everybody's doorstep with a cookie box filled with mushrooms and asks you to eat them. We're doomed.
I'm guessing the chances of that happening are pretty astronomical.
Well, human beings are changing. There's no question whatsoever. It's just the change that occurs takes so long to actually happen, like the real change. Like when people think about like change, they think about it like, oh, we just need to fix things right now. It's not going to happen. It's going to happen slowly, and it's going to happen over a course of many, many, many lifetimes. But when you look at it 100 years from now or 1,000 years from now, it'll look like this quick change.
Right.
But during your lifetime, as you become smarter, as you become more educated, as you become more filled with information, you start to look at the world from a more balanced perspective, it doesn't make any sense to you why things don't change. It just takes so long for everyone to get on the same page, and that's the issue. So I don't know.
Joe Rogan is here. I'm sorry, we have to break it off for right there. You're going to be at the theater at the Ace Hotel in downtown LA this Friday night at 8 o'clock, by the way. Tickets are on sale now through Ticketmaster.com. The Ace Hotel, guys, is on Broadway between 9th and Olympic, thanks to Kevin Beamlister. Yeah,
that's where the best crack is. That's the spot. It's like that place in Cuba where they grow the best cigars.
It's the crack sweet spot. Get your tickets to see Joe Friday night. More with our guest right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on Camera. One of our probably 10 favorite people to have in as a guest on the Kevin and Bean Show, and the only one without boobs, our friend Joe Rogan in studio right now on the Kevin and Bean Show.
That's how he does it.
I'm so happy now.
That's how he does it.
He is appearing. That was a compliment, Kevin.
It's a huge
one. Know.
Yeah. He is appearing at the theater at the Ace Hotel. It's the first comedy show at the new theater at the Ace Hotel in downtown L.A. It is this Friday night. Joe Rogan, oftentimes on the road in other cities. This is your chance to see him right here at home. Tickets available now through LiveNation.com or Ticketmaster.com. Hey, are you ever going to act again, Joe?
Nay, my friend.
Really?
I say nay.
People liked you on the TV.
I'm not a very good actor. I'm not really into it.
That hasn't stopped half of Hollywood from continuing to act.
I do other things better, and I enjoy them more. And the process is, I'm not complaining, because I've had real jobs. I delivered newspapers. I did construction. I've done a lot of, like, jobs that really suck. But acting is not fun. It's a lot of waiting around. The actual process of, like, sitcom acting, like news radio, was a lot of fun because it was very talented people and
amazing cast.
Yeah, and it's also, there's something cool about doing it in front of a live audience. You make the audience laugh. It's like a little bit stand-up-y in a lot of ways, but
right.
Stand-up is more rewarding. I don't know. So, and you can only do so many things in this life. I have a lot of different gigs that are already due between doing podcasting, doing stand-up comedy, and doing commentary for the UFC. Those things I love. I love those things.
Yeah.
So to like not do those things, to do something that I don't love as much, not very appealing. And I don't like actors. I don't want to say all of them. I have friends that are actors, but most of them. They just, and it's not even their fault. I think the process of becoming an actor is unbelievably brutal because you live your life trying to get people to choose you.
Yeah.
So in that, you develop almost instinctively this fakeness because for years you're unsuccessful. For years you're striving to get someone to choose you. So during that time, you're trying to formulate this very attractive personality. You're trying to...
Maybe not really you.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of people, especially... sorry, I forgot I'm on the radio.
No worries.
You want to come back with a machine gun and just kill everybody. It's like, you can't talk. You need to stop talking. You don't even have an opinion. They have these conglomeration of other people's opinions that they've sort of adopted because they think that it'll make them appear more progressive, more sensitive. And when you sort of question their concepts, like why do you choose this, what makes you think this, like you realize there's nothing there. It's just like it's like a set. It's like you ever pass by one of those city sets and it's just like the outside of the building,
right?
But then you open the door, there's nothing inside.
There's nothing there.
That's their whole personality. It's a set. So their formulations, like, and not all of them, of course, there's a lot
of them. Yeah, that's a generalization.
But it's the whole process of being an actor. You're insecure in the first place. Like, why would you want to be an actor? Why do you want to have so much attention? I can tell you personally, it's usually because you weren't happy when you were a child and you didn't get the attention that you deserved. And so you're just trying to fill this hole in your soul with a ton of attention. You're going to prove to everyone that you're special. So that's like the majority.
But there have to be people who just enjoy acting,
absolutely,
though, just like there are people who enjoy science. dance or enjoy swimming or whatever their thing is. Right?
I am definitely talking out of my ass, and I'm definitely talking in massive generalizations. It's not all of them. There's a lot of really cool actors. But
there's also a lot of what you're talking about.
What the creation of that process is, it's like
I feel the same about politicians. I feel the exact same way.
No, absolutely.
The whole system.
Exactly. Perfect example.
There are very few people who go into politics because of a genuine and sincere wish to help the society.
And even if they do, the system will beat that out of them at every point in turn when they need to raise money for campaigns, when they need to, you know, when they have fundraising, when they have these meetings and they decide how they're going to get enough money in order to continue. Like, they have to compromise, and that's playing politics. That's what it's all about. And the playing politics of acting is just, it's particularly offensive. But there's genuine people. I've met some really genuine people that are actors.
This conversation got started because I asked you if you'd ever act again, and you had an interesting answer to that, Joe, in that you seem to be one of the people who is smart enough to be aware that we have a limited amount of time on Earth, and every decision that you make of how you're going to spend your time takes away from time you have to do other things.
Yeah.
And you strike me as a guy who, I mean, like, in the last year or so, you've really, you know, gone deep into your interest in hunting, for instance. That's something you've spent time and you've pursued. I bet there are lots of other things in the years to come that you still have on that list that you can't wait to get to.
I don't understand when people say they're bored. Like, when someone says they're bored, well, go do something. You know, it doesn't take money to do something. There's a million things you can do. You can take classes. You can read things. You can explore new things. There's just so many different – start trying to learn an instrument. You know, try to learn a foreign language. Like, stimulate your mind. There's so much stuff. Like, the hunting thing to me, one of the things that I like about it is that there's a real finality to it all. And there's something that we don't sort of wrap our heads around when we eat meat. That you go to a store and you pick up a, you know, a steak, or you pick up some hamburger and you eat it. The idea of where it started and how it got to you. Disconnects are bad.
Yeah.
Disconnects in all forms, you know, and I think there's a lot, like, if we ever do eventually have robot sex dolls, I think that is going to be
Beans language.
It's going to be a real problem
with
human beings and how we interact with other human beings.
Not going to be a problem for me.
It's going to be a problem for everybody that knows you, though.
I am happy to give up all of my other interactions with humans. Wow. It's not going to be a problem.
Well, I think, you know, Ralph and I were also talking about this before the break, that this digital age that we live in, it allows a lot of people to have no person-to-person interaction.
Right.
And all their interactions occurring digitally. And there's people that they do whatever they do. They get into their house. They shut the door. They bolt it. And then they get online. And that's how they interact. And there's no social cues.
Bean.
Is that you, Bean?
I think many people do spend more time online than they do, quote unquote, in real life. I really do.
I'm trying to do that less and less these days. I'm inundated with information on a constant basis anyway. And I think that the more I can put my phone away, the more I can step away from my computer and just experience real life, especially as I get older. And I do wrap my head around this idea of finality, this idea of living in a finite life. You know, and you only have so much time, and no acting for me because of that.
Life, it seems long, but it really does go fast. Just like the year speeds up, you know, just like you can't believe it's going to be August this weekend. In the big picture, that's what your life is like, too. All of a sudden, you wake up and you're 40.
You wake up
and you're 60. You wake up and you're 80 and you're dead.
Yeah, 100 years is all you have if you're lucky, and you don't want those last 20. And the you know, that idea, it's like, it seems so, when you're 20 years old, like, one of the things that I find incredibly fascinating is talking to young people, you know, and they just have, and I remember being young and have no clue. It's like you're just on momentum and you're sort of running and you don't know where the cliff is. And you just keep going and there's a bunch of people in front of you and you start seeing those people fall off the cliff. And then as you get older, you know, you're getting closer and closer to that cliff. You go, hey, whoa, where's everybody going? Am I just doing what you're doing and everybody's just running in the same direction? Does anybody know what's going on here? Like, what are we doing here?
Or why we're going that direction or whatever?
What's going on? Why is everybody wearing ties? Will you stop it with the ties? You wear a tie because your dad wore a tie and everybody's wearing ties?
I'm done with
this
that.
Is ridiculous. Women, why are you wearing these heels? You can't even walk in those. You know, we'll have sex with you if you're barefoot. Do you know that? We care not even slightly. I try to explain this to my wife. I'm like, she's like, don't these look pretty? I'm like, it's not happening.
It's not here for the
whatever
shoes.
Connection.
It's you that's pretty, not the shoes.
Embrace your and you know, this idea of femininity or what women are enjoy. Absolutely pursue that. You know, if you're into shoes or purses or whatever, you know, whatever makes you happy and excited. But the idea that, you know, everyone else is supposed to understand that, like the males of the species are supposed to understand. Like, we suppress femininity and masculinity like the other side will because we don't understand it.
Right.
It's impossible to understand. I mean, just, but
yeah, Joe is making insanely good sense today, by the way, you guys.
I'm sorry.
He's bringing a lot of clarity to the
world. If you're in your car
today.
Right now, you're ready to drive off a cliff. All right.
This is, in a tie.
No, yeah, I meant it. You're making a tremendous amount of sense. All right, we got to take another
wrap
break.
Wrap the tie around the wheel and just take a hard U-turn and just put yourself to sleep.
One more segment with our guest, Joe Rogan, when we return.
Gas pedal.
Don't forget, when you get where you're going, buy some tickets at Ticketmaster.com for Joe at the Ace Hotel Theater. We'll be back in a moment on K-Rock.
Made the announcement earlier this morning. We're doing breakfast with Arcade Fire. We just gave away another pair of tickets to Brendan Hurst from Altaloma. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. We will see you on Friday.
Friday morning in the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock, the great band from Canada, Arcade Fire, is going to be performing live. We'll be asking them some questions. You'll be asking them some questions. It'll be fun. And by the way, Brendan will also hook you up with a pair of tickets to go see them at the Forum this weekend as well. You like the Arcade Fire, Joe Rogan? You like that band? Do you know that band?
I don't even know who they are.
Oh, you're missing out. They're so good.
There's so many good Black Keys songs. I don't have time.
Yeah.
I don't have time to insert.
I've seen you tweet Black Keys songs all the time. Oh, I just rediscovered this song. It's awesome.
You know who I got into recently? Shooter Jennings.
He's
Waylon
terrific.
Jennings. Oh,
yeah.
I can't believe that guy's not more famous.
And he's not a country artist for people who are scared off by his family lineage. He's not really.
He is
though.
As well. He's got some country songs that are fantastic.
But I'm saying he goes beyond. He's not the kind of country music that our listeners don't like.
No, it's deep. It's deep.
Good stuff. Hey, Joe Rogan is here because he's in town this week at the Ace Hotel.
I'm here because I love you guys.
Okay. Right. And that's Friday night. You can buy your tickets now through Ticketmaster.com. It's going to be a great show. First comedy show in the new theater at the Ace. And one of the reasons we love having Joe in is because he spends a lot of time learning about the human body and how things work and don't work. And America's number one movie is this Scarlett Johansson film called Lucy, where they talk about the old trope that I guess isn't true about how little the human brain is actually used. Right, Joe?
Well, they say that you only access 10% of the human. That's not true.
You only use
10% of the human brain. We use 100% of the human brain. It's just we don't use it at the same time. And different parts of the human brain serve different functions, and we're still just learning about that right now.
So you can't buy that premise just to watch
Lucy? It's nonsense. It's stupid. I would have bought that premise if it was 1950 and it was a black and white movie. You know,
but isn't Scarlett Johansson hot enough that you can just get past that
almost,
premise?
Almost.
But the reason I bring it up to you is, in all of your unbelievable amount of research that you've done into, you know, drugs and whatnot, is there something that's out there that more people should be aware of that would make the brain work more efficiently or effectively?
Well, there's an episode of Radiolab. Radiolab is a great podcast that I listen to all the time. And they were talking about, I believe it's called transcranial dermal stimulation. The idea is you put electrodes on the outside of the skull, on the skin, and they expose the skull to a certain amount of electricity.
Okay.
And not much, like a 9-volt battery. And in doing that, they've shown a massive increase in your ability to learn things.
I need to do that right now.
No way.
Yes. Not just like...
I need to leave right now and do that.
Not just a small amount, but a huge amount. Like here, for instance, they did this thing where they put on the Radiolab episode, they took this woman and they put her through... The U.S. government is using it for a bunch of different things. And one of them is for training soldiers. And they put her through this sniper training course. And she did it sober for the first time, the first one, without the electrical stimulation. And she was really frustrated. It was hectic. And she scored... Like, she killed... it's a video simulation of an attack by insurgents in Iraq, right? And she kills, like, 3 out of the 20 targets and gets blown up and the whole deal. She's terrible at it. It's really frustrating. Then they hit her with the electricity. She doesn't feel a thing. It's just like you feel like mosquito bites in your head. You feel like a metallic taste in your mouth, which is really odd. But she didn't feel any smarter. She does the test. Feels like time is moving in slow motion. She goes through 20 minutes, and it feels like 3. She can't believe that it's over when it's over. And she scores 100% instead of 3 out of 20. The same person doing it again scores 20 out of 20 and is like an assassin.
And this is electricity on the skull.
Yes, electricity on the outside of the skull. Yes, you can. In fact, there's a whole community of people. If you go on YouTube and you read this I'm not. It's TCDS or something like that. I forget what the acronym is.
That's a new CBS crime show. Also, by the way.
Yeah, there's a Vegas one. There's a Miami. if you you Google it and you go and read all these articles on it and these YouTube videos, there's a bunch of people that have experimented on putting these electrodes over different areas of the brain, and in doing so, you stimulate different aspects of the brain.
Like that sounds fascinating.
It is very fascinating.
Do they know how long that effect happened for that woman?
Well, that was what's interesting. It also alleviated her anxiety, and she said for days she felt happier, and she was being really honest in the podcast.
Did her boobs grow?
Hey, Bean. Wow, why do you have to go there?
I'm just trying to see whether it's worth pursuing this technology or not.
She's a person.
Every time.
Yeah, you don't want a smarter chick with smaller boobs. Like, her boobs shrunk, but her brain got bigger. It's
well, too
really
bad that
weird.
Technology didn't work then.
Yeah, I need a robot.
All right, well, that is fascinating. See, now that's the nugget worth taking away from today's Kevin DeBee
show.
I'm gonna research that.
And provable, and it's something that is they're working on right
but
now.
But you have to agree to let a guy hook electrodes up to your head.
Well,
though.
That's what's weird. People are doing it themselves. Not only that, they're building
them.
I'm all right. I'm good. I do enough weird stuff
See,
right
that's
now.
That's the difference between Joe and I is that I know I need that immediately.
I spend so much time in sensory deprivation tanks, and I'm doing so much weird stuff to my brain. There's days that I just need to do nothing.
Yeah. It's a miracle that you haven't blown yourself up, Joe. All right, listen.
I'm not doing anything dangerous.
Before we let you
except
go,
shooting guns and arrows
tell me
and
this
stuff.
Isn't awesome. We already talked about how you can buy tickets for Joe at the Ace Hotel Friday Night Ticketmaster. We are now going to give away a prize package that includes a hotel stay at the Ace.
Good googly moogly.
Dinner for two and a pair of tickets to see the Joe Rogan Show. How about that?
So it's
a prize package. I know. It's pretty amazing, right? We'll make it caller 20 right now at 1-800-520-1067. If you want to have a great night with Joe Rogan this coming Friday night, follow him on Twitter at Joe Rogan, website joerogan.net. And don't miss the Joe Rogan Experience available through the website or on iTunes. Joe, great to see you, my friend. Thanks for coming in.
Always great to hear you guys.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 855.
Guys, one of our Kevin and Bean listeners needs our help. And we're going to talk to him coming up right after the top.
I need help getting the best show on television back. That's what I need.
Nick has run into a little bit of a roadblock with his plans, so we're going to see what we can do.
Because that's what champions do.
Exactly, yeah. Nick. That's right. Coming up right off the top of the hour. And
Mother effing Tupac!
And Jackie Johnson, who does weather for Channel 9, is going to join us to tell us how the lightning's going to kill us all. Apparently, we're not through. We're not done with lightning and thunder in Southern California.
Is she going to say we're all dead, though?
Yes, I believe so. I don't want to put words in her mouth. We'll find out what she has to say. That's all the next half hour here on K-Rock. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Monday.
Did you see the footage of the couple in Mexico taking the selfie on the pier?
No.
When the lightning bolt came down behind them.
Really?
And blew up a tree.
Dude.
They're shooting some video on the beach in Mexico, and they're like, hi, and there's the pier, and it's so cute. And you see it come like 30 feet behind them.
Oh, my
and
God.
And blows a tree up.
That's awesome.
And then they showed the Venice Beach footage, and then they showed this footage. And I said to Joe Rogan, before he came on to do his interview, we were watching, I said, this is the first 15 minutes of a disaster film. This is how it starts, with a couple guys watching some footage on television going, geez, that's odd. And the next thing, everywhere. This summer on Sci-Fi. Lightning shark or something. Something like that. But that's how it starts, with like a few isolated incidents that are just... Oh, that seems odd. And then just it's constant lightning bolts all the time.
How would lightning shark work?
It would be a shark that shoots lightning out of its ass.
I see.
And it just hits us all.
I like it.
Get Ian Ziering back on the phone.
Yeah, we need him. I'm just telling you, man. We're going down, and everyone thinks it's funny. Take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Lucy, she uses 100% of her brain.
That's what I heard.
It makes her able to stop time.
That was an odd choice for me, too. But I thought, even if she's using 100% of her brain, how does she stop time?
Because you don't know, man. $44 million made it number one. Hercules, in its debut, made $29 million. Still pretty good. Made it number two. Then Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, The Purge, Planes, Fire and Rescue, Sex Tape, Transformers, Age of Extinction, and So It Goes, Tammy and 22 Jump Street were your top 10 movies at the box office this week. Again, congratulations to Piper Perabo. and Stephen Kay, co-stars of Covert Affairs. They got married inappropriately, a top-secret wedding over the weekend. They got married in New York City and then enjoyed a New Orleans-style reception, which I'm guessing means everybody was showing their cans for beads, I guess.
Yeah, right? that's how it works.
Celebrating New Orleans. Mm-hmm. I wish I was at that wedding.
Yeah.
Big Comic-Con weekend has finally come to a close, of course, and we're all exhausted. So it takes a lot of energy. Just to get around down there takes a lot of energy. Just getting across the street can be...
It's a lot of work.
A challenge.
Your schedule, however, was stupid.
I really was stupid.
You might have overdone it.
I did a poor job of scheduling my time and energy this weekend, that's for sure. But we did find out some cool things. Like The Blacklist is going to add another cast member. Mary Louise Parker will be joining the...
Love her.
NBC series in its second season.
Sweet.
Very excited. Guardians of the Galaxy, which comes out this weekend, announced during the Marvel movie panel that they have already set the release date for Guardians of the Galaxy 2, which will be out on July the 28th, 2017.
That's maybe too much information. Usually they'll go summer 2017 or something.
No, they know exactly.
Gave it a date
out
already.
So
by the way, the director of Guardians, James Gunn, joins us in studio Thursday morning, I think, here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I love James Gunn. He's done.
He made Slither, don't you know?
I know he made Slither. He also made one of my favorite superhero movies, and it's funny because this is one of my favorites, and I always blank on the title because there's so many like it, like the Invincibles and all those kind of things. You
right,
know, that isn't it, but it's the Specials. I think it's called the Specials.
The Specials.
And Rob Lowe was in it. And,
yes, that's right.
Very,
that's
very.
That's the one.
Very
yeah.
funny superhero movie. One of my favorites. And speaking of Comic-Con, this is inside. I wasn't planning on talking about this, but I did a panel for Fox, 20th Century Fox's upcoming slate of films, and met some great people and had a great time doing that. We talked about Kingsman, Secret Service, which is coming out, which looks great with Colin Firth.
That does look
and
good.
Samuel L. Jackson looks terrific. And Let's Be Cops with Jake Johnson and Damon Wayans Jr.
That's
and
funny.
Rob Riggle. And hanging with those guys was just great. Nina DeBrev was there. Terrific. But there's this new animated film coming out that I'm really excited about, and we haven't heard much about it, but I talked to the creators at this panel. It's called The Book of Life.
Book of Life.
And it is an animated film, comedy, sort of a family film, but it is all based from and derived from the Latino culture. So it takes place on the Day of the Dead, and it's the story of these two brothers who fall in love with the same woman, and it's a really cool, visually interesting film. Guillermo del Toro.
Oh, no kidding.
Is the producer of the film.
All right.
And the director is a guy named Jorge Gutierrez, who, as he walks out on stage to do the panel, comes up and says, "Please tell Kevin and Bean I said hi. I love you guys. I've lived in L.A. my whole life, and you guys are my favorite radio show, and this is so cool to meet you."
That's weird.
Very weird.
Yeah, that's always
to happen in front of 5,000 people in Hall H.
Huh.
Thank you, sir, for that compliment.
But he's a super talented guy and a super interesting guy.
Got to have him on when the movie comes out.
Yeah, I told him. I said, come by the studio and we'll talk about the movie when it comes close to coming out. But Channing Tatum is one of the stars of that, and Christina
right.
Applegate and Ron Perlman. Really great cast,
wow.
And I'm really excited about that film, so I just wanted to give it a
That's very cool.
Out.
We are always stunned when we find out that people listen to this show, and more so that they like it.
Very, very odd. Always. Today's celebrity birthdays, Garfield creator Jim Davis. Jim Davis. 69 years old today. Davis. Actress Lori Loughlin is 50 years old today. UFC president Dana White turns 45. And actress Elizabeth Berkley celebrates her 42nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I enjoy getting emails from our listeners and hearing what they have to say about the show and things that are on their mind. A lot of times we get great content ideas from hearing from our listeners. And when I heard from our old friend Nick recently, I thought, you know what, we gotta touch base with him again because it's been a while since we had Nick on the phone. It's not so much an email that he sent as a manifesto. Now, Kevin, I forwarded it to you, but you said you what? Only had time to get through the first 100,000 words?
Listen, I'm not an avid reader, so unless I have a week, I cannot finish his email.
Nick is a wordy guy, but that's only because he's got a lot on his mind, and we are happy to welcome him back to the show.
I have a lot on my mind.
Yes, you do.
Yes.
First of all, Nick, longtime Kevin and Bean Lister, friend of the show for some time. Let me first say belated happy birthday to you. You are 31. Now, how do you feel, sir?
I feel great. I had a great birthday weekend. I had lots of fun.
Right.
A fun weekend, yeah.
Now, the reason you wrote to me, though, is what, Nick?
Well, I'm still out there
fighting the good fight and trying to get the Playboy Club episodes released.
Okay, now, the Playboy Club was a TV show, kids.
Yeah.
3 years ago, 2011, they are...
I know it's been a long time,
I'm
but
I'm explaining
like
the... to everybody else. Take it easy, Nick. It aired 7 episodes, and then it was canceled. Nick went on an immediate rampage to try and get those others shown.
A peaceful wordy rampage, not a bad rampage.
No, we're not saying it was bad. Look, in your defense, Nick, and you know you're crazy, right? You do understand that.
Yeah, well, like, that's the crowd you attract, so, I mean, come on.
Okay. In your defense, though, a lot of us, and Lisa and I have had this conversation a million times, we get really bummed out when shows that we like are canceled. Yeah. We're very disappointed in. And, of course, you're sad, and, of course, you miss that show, and, of course, you'd like to see whatever episodes are left, and usually you wait for a DVD release or some other way they become available on demand or something like that. But at some point, you go, well, that's out of my control. That's a much bigger fight than I can win because that involves a lot of other people and their livelihood, and I just have to accept it, move on, and go watch other TV shows. You haven't gotten to that next step yet.
Well, I watch other TV shows, and it's just not as good. It's just like, it's just, the flavor isn't there. It's like, I want my favorite thing.
All right, but
my
Nick.
My favorite thing of all.
Great, but what Beam's saying is there an end to this? Because it has been 3 years, and I'm guessing that the decision's been made, and you can fight all you want, not going to help.
Well,
if that's the case, perhaps move on.
It's hard to move on. That's another thing. It's like, I've actually heard from one of the cast members on Twitter a bunch now, and she's really nice to me, and she's so cool, and, like, she's just the best.
Right.
And I what?
Right, we heard you. Go
right.
ahead.
And it's like, I can't let her down. I want to win. I want to win this one. I want to win. I want to win so bad. It's like, I go to sleep at night thinking how much I want to win in this matter. Like, I want victory. I want it like oxygen. I want victory on this. I want to win. Like, I want to win.
Not to bum you out. Not to bum you out, because I heard all of your enthusiasm right there, and you saying that you want to win. You want to win this one. You're gonna lose.
Well,
I'm saying you could fight for another 10 years, lose.
Kevin wants to start for the Lakers badly.
Right.
Badly. More than anything in his life since he was a little boy, he's wanted to grow up and start for the Lakers. But you know what? At some point, Kevin has to look around and go, That's a dream I'm not going to fulfill. I've got to do something else.
Sure seems to not be happening.
So, Nick, well, how many Playboy Club episodes have been made and are finished, and those bastards just won't show them to you?
There's 4 left.
There's 4 more. And
that's
3 years,
they haven't released them
on DVD or anything. 3 years later, they're just sitting in a vault somewhere?
Yes. That's crazy, isn't it?
Well, no.
Yeah,
I mean, they do release stuff, you know, pretty quickly these days, but that was a show that
was
canceled.
A level of interest for it, but there,
right.
Clearly there aren't a lot of Knicks out there dying for these episodes.
I can't give up. It's like I've talked to like one of the girls from the show, and like I just don't want to. She's like awesome to me. It's like if I gave up, I would feel like I was letting her down. I've actually met a couple of the cast members since I did the site.
Hey, Nick, you need to give up.
Nick, how much of this is your insane crush on actress Amber Heard, one of the actresses from the Playboy Club? How much of it is that you just want to see every minute of film on her?
It's up there. It's up there, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like her best work. I think it's like her best work, honest to God.
What about Zombieland?
No, it's not her best work. It's really not.
You reference about 17 times your hypnotherapist in your emails. Is your hypnotherapist telling you this is a good battle to keep waging?
Yeah, for the most part, yes.
Yes? Like, keep it up? You're doing good work?
She understands. She gets me.
Nick, is it possible, and I'm being serious now because I like you as a person and I like to think that we're friends, is it possible that the time that you're spending on pursuing these Playboy Club episodes is some time that you could be spending furthering your life in other ways, either socially or toward a career?
I will say this much. I am doing other things,
and I am, you know, doing everything I can to, you know, advance myself. At the same time, there's a lot of time during the day, and it's like,
do you have a job?
Not the moment.
Okay. Maybe you want to start there. Look, I don't know, have all the answers, but I'm saying if you don't have a job, perhaps that's a good starting point.
Well, I've been looking for one. I don't know. I've never had a job. Like, the only thing I would want to buy, the first thing I want to buy with that any money I make is these episodes. It's like, what kind of money if you can't spend on what you want the most?
So you're not getting a job because you don't want money because you can't buy...
I want money. I'm just saying money's better when you can actually spend it on your favorite thing.
Come on, Kevin. What's the point of having a job if he can't use his first paycheck to buy the episodes of the Playboy Club?
Which are not available.
Nick, do you think you'll do sign holding again like you did when we met you, or have you moved on to something else?
I'm trying to get out of that, but the times I was unemployed, it was like my old boss that like rehired me. So I was fired and rehired and fired and rehired again. I'm currently out. Sign-holding game.
Nick's trying to leave the sign-holding racket behind him, Kevin.
But they just won't let you go, will they?
No.
You must be really good at it.
Yes, I am. Yes, I bloody hell am. I'm great at it.
Right.
Well, there have to be other...
I need to do something else.
Yeah, I think it may be time for you to do something else in a lot of areas of your life, Nick. Look, we love you, and we want this to happen. Please understand, it's not that we don't want these episodes to be released. We're just concerned that it's taking up too much of your time and attention. Maybe you get yourself a girlfriend. Maybe that's where you go next.
That would be good. Yes, that would be good, too. So there we go. I won't deny that.
No, I'm saying, so if you want a girlfriend, then I'm going to give you step one and step two. Step one, give up on the TV show. Step two, get a job.
The problem is, like, I still want to do these things, and it's like I still have a life every day. The problem is, it's just unresolved. It's unresolved, and it's just always there, and it's always kind of like nothing. It just hangs over everything. At this point, I want it to be over so it's, you know, I can, like, move on.
Yeah, he needs closure.
Like, I don't feel like we're making progress, Bean. How do you feel about this?
I think Nick is pretty darn committed to getting the Playboy Club episodes. That's for sure. Well, listen.
Nick, I commit to things. Right, I commit. Nick. I don't bail when things get hard. I don't.
Right, but it's not hard. It's impossible.
I don't bail when things get impossible either.
You're going to hear about it if it happens, Nick. Why don't you just turn off that part of your brain and move on to other things, and then you'll be pleasantly surprised when the news comes down that there's more Playboy Club episodes for you to watch.
I do stuff that doesn't involve the Playboy Club all the time, every day. I'm just saying part of my brain is still stuck there in that show.
Gotcha. You should use that part of your brain to edit your emails down from 100,000 words to like 10,000.
I need that part of my brain back.
Yeah.
I feel like I've lost a part of my imagination has been stolen, and I want it back.
Right.
Well, you sound good, you sound happy, you sound healthy.
I am happy, but I will be fulfilled once I get what I want here.
Yep. Understood.
All right. Good luck with that.
Glad to talk to you again, Nick. We'll do it again in a year or so, okay?
No, all right.
Bye-bye.
We made the announcement earlier this morning. We're doing breakfast with Arcade Fire.
Yay!
Not giving you a whole lot of heads up, as it is this Friday.
What?
But we're going to give away some tickets here in about 5 minutes on the world-famous K-Rock.
Big band, tiny little room. It's you and it's us, and we're interviewing and watching the Arcade Fire play live in front of us about 25 feet away. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be so cool. Your chance to win coming up, as Kevin mentioned. The weather story yesterday, you know, I'm so used to get these news bulletins, and especially weather-related stuff. You know I love Kevin.
Ben is on every list so that he gets notified if there's any weather anywhere in the United States.
Seriously, if there's fog in St. Louis, I want to know about it. I do love the weather. But when I saw the reports of lightning and thunder, and I saw the kind of lightning that hits and kills people, I thought, oh, well, what part of the Midwest is this going to be in? And then I saw it was at Venice Beach, and I thought, what? We don't get that kind of weather in Southern California, so we wanted to find out more about what is happening and if it is likely to happen again. And I'm so excited. Is it possible that Jackie Johnson, meteorologist and weathercaster for Channel 2 and Channel 9, has never been on our show before, Jackie? Is that true?
That is true, and I listen to you guys almost every single day. I'm the biggest fan.
We watch you almost every single day. How has this marriage never happened before?
I don't know. I'm more nervous to talk to you guys than to go on TV.
Well, thank you so much for the time, because I know you're crazy busy right now. But am I right? We just don't see thunder and lightning like we saw yesterday in Southern California very often at all, right?
Not at all where we saw it. This time of year, this never happens. It really was a freakish storm.
I don't remember there ever being lightning at the beach.
No. I mean, the only time it ever really happens is into the overnight hours and it's well off the coast, but never during the day in the summer at the beach.
So what was different this time around? What were the conditions? And part two of my question is it the type of thing that we should have predicted and seen coming?
Okay, well, I'll answer your number one question, what happened, and I'm going to try not to nerd out too much on you guys, but I hate to say the perfect storm. It wasn't like the movie, The Perfect Storm, but a few things happened that's very rare that made these storms happen. So, number one, this time of year, we get the monsoonal moisture, and that usually affects the mountain and desert. So
right.
we're used to the thunderstorms there. But the ridge of high pressure expanded yesterday, and it pushed all that moisture a little farther to the west, so toward the beach communities. So we had that. Then it was a very hot day, so surface temperatures, the land and the sea temperatures were actually above average. So now you've got very hot temperatures on the ground. And then what developed was called a vortmax, and it was a very strong vortmax. And what a vortmax is it's a...
That's one of the villains in Guardians of the Galaxy, right?
I don't think that's it.
It sounds like it.
I know, and I promise not to nerd out too much, but it's a counterclockwise spin in the atmosphere aloft. So what that does is it cools the atmosphere. So altogether, these three things just really destabilized the atmosphere, and that caused the thunderstorms.
Wow.
And the really weird thing is I was watching the radar, because I'm a weather nerd, and I was seeing at least 18 lightning strikes over Catalina, and then you just have one injury with a golfer. And over the cell that was over Venice Beach, there I only saw 1 to 2 lightning strikes, and then there were so many problems. So, I mean, when you look at how many people were at the beach, there was over 20,000 people just at Venice Beach. So it could have even been worse.
Yeah.
But what about this? All this video that I saw on Channel 2 this morning of, like, that house in Redondo Beach that obviously the house itself had been hit by lightning, the car had been hit by lightning. It looked like there had to be a lot more than just a couple of strikes.
Yeah, so at Venice there was just a couple, but from Redondo to LAX there was more lightning strikes, and it caused a car fire, a house fire. I mean, it was just crazy, these storms that were developing, and the problem is that could happen again today. Right now I see a few cells right off Catalina.
Oh, wow.
If you're in the water, say you're surfing, do you have to worry about that?
Yeah, definitely. The water's the worst place to be. And generally speaking, it could be blue sky overhead and you could still get struck by lightning. We're just so not used to that here. So we see blue sky and we think we're okay, but there's about a 10-mile rule. If there's a storm 10 miles away, you could still be struck.
Now, the young man who died yesterday was in the water, right? He got struck while in the water, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
And so that... Go ahead.
What should the people on the beach do? I mean, is it just supposed to be, if weather conditions like that present themselves again this afternoon, Jackie, is it just hightail it, just get inside?
Absolutely. Get into a vehicle with a metal top, or get into a structure as soon as you see anything.
But the chances of getting hit by lightning are like the chances of getting hit by lightning.
Do we have to change that? Do we have to change that now because the chances are better?
I know, especially here in Southern California. This is just too weird.
Right.
You're right.
You know, it's a tragedy for the people that were hurt. And besides the one who was killed, there were 7 others that were injured yesterday. But a little bit of excitement for you in the weather center there, right? Because you don't get much to be excited about when you're doing the weather in this part of the country.
I know. You know, I used to forecast hurricanes in Miami. I grew up in the Midwest with tornadoes. So, I never want to see anyone get hurt, but it's nice when we have some weather to talk about.
Exactly. Use that meteorology degree for a change.
Exactly.
All right. What time are you going to be on the TV today, Jackie? We'll definitely keep looking.
Well, thank you so much. I'll be on CBS at 5, 6, and 11.
Well, you're awesome, and I'm sorry that we stole you from Stryker, because I know you guys are friends. But we're not giving you back. We're keeping you now.
Oh, good. I love you guys.
Thanks, Jackie.
Thank you. Bye now.
All right.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:41.
That Jackie Johnson's a great deal, by the way.
I don't know
if you guys watch
Bean is
TV,
obsessed with her.
Listen to him.
There's the thing about her. She's
tremendous weather balloon.
What?
No, we're talking about
she's a pretty girl. And more importantly to Bean, she does weather.
Yep. She stands in front of a map.
I'm surprised Bean can even see her for staring at the map.
I do love maps. That's true. Maybe that's why I love weather so much, is because they stand in front of maps. Never even occurred to me. Anyway, it was awesome to have her on. And if you just missed it, she said we're likely all going to be struck by lightning and killed later today.
I don't think that's accurate.
Rob is here. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday morning. What's going on?
I want to thank the many listeners who pointed out the uncanny resemblance between Nick and Bean.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Nick is sort of a young Bean.
He's a Bean in training?
Yeah, with his sort of creepy obsessions and his single-mindedness and his odd passions for...
things no one else cares about.
Weird things that no one else cares about. It's a lot in common.
But haven't I gone far beyond that? I mean, he definitely is stuck on one or two things, and I'm able to... expand.
Well, he's other areas. I'm telling you, he's young. He will grow into you.
He's not you yet. Give him a break.
You were him. Now he will be you. And then the circle will be complete.
I wasn't unemployed and living with my parents at 31, though, guys. I was doing this job when I was 31.
Mm. Yeah, well, you lucked out. You're luckier than Nick. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But you're still Nick-esque. Or he is Bean-esque. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, I think he's Bean-esque.
How dare you?
Hey!
I mean, think about it. The voice is even there.
Hey! I just want it to be complete. I just love Jackie Joseph.
How dare you?
I was just hearing the cringeworthy story of how Bean creeped out Judy Greer at Comic-Con.
Oh, that was awesome.
I didn't creep her out even a tiny bit, by the way. I said hello to her.
That's weighing heavily
on
my soul now.
The extent of the creeping out was she walked by me and I said, "Hi, Miss Judy Greer," and that was it, period.
By the way, he said, I don't know why I called her by her Twitter handle.
Hi, Miss Judy Greer.
She was, by the way, she was also on the phone.
Right.
And had never met Bean in person.
Oh, right. That's
so
right.
She just gave a quick wave.
She said, who's that creepy dude? I'm going to keep going. Who just called me by my full name in a public place and weirded me out? Oh, I'll get it. I got to get that. Hold on a second.
Marty, stop.
Hello. Yeah. Well, just put your finger in their butts. That'll stop them.
Whose phone rang? Okay. It wasn't on my end, by the way. It's not me.
But I don't know that.
It can't be one of ours.
Yeah.
I believe it was you.
I have no phone ringing here.
How
guys.
About
I'm
that?
You,
I don't know.
So, I did not creep out Miss Judy Greer, and the next time we have her on, we will ask her, and I think she will tell you that fact.
She sprinted away because she was comfortable with you.
She was with people, and she was walking somewhere, and I just said hello to her.
But she was also on the phone.
Which I didn't know, by the way, when I first saw her. It all happened
how?
So fast.
How? I knew when I first saw her.
So fast.
She's on a phone.
It all
how
happened
How can you
so
recognize someone on a phone in just a mere looking at them?
Look, a group of people walked in.
It takes 45 seconds to really.
I saw her face and recognized her and said hello to her as I realized that she was, you know, walking past us and she was on the phone. I didn't
Hi, Miss Judy Greer.
Hi, Miss Judy Greer.
I wasn't being creepy. I was saying hello to someone that we have a good relationship with here on the show. That's all. We've had her on many times, including
two weeks
ago.
Yes, we have.
We're not denying any of that.
There wasn't anything creepy about saying hello to a person that I see in a restaurant. That's not creepy, you guys.
With their full name.
Well, I mean,
while she's on the phone.
I didn't need to call her that, but
let's be honest. That's a little weird.
Came to mind.
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Lucy... in its debut, made $44 million this weekend. Pretty strong. Second was Hercules, also did pretty well. In its debut, made $29 million. Then Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, The Purge, Planes, Fire and Rescue, Sex Tape, Transformers, Age of Extinction, and So It Goes, Tammy, and 22 Jump Street were your top 10 movies at the box office. Boy, that Channing Tatum, speaking of 22 Jump Street, he's a nice guy.
Yeah, he's the nicest. Did you see him again over the weekend?
He did one of the voices in this animated movie I was telling you about, The Book of Life.
Mm-hmm.
And just a sweet, sweet guy.
Very nice.
And then we had Biz Markie come out on stage and sing Just a Friend live.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
That didn't happen.
That's what happened.
That did not happen.
That's what happened on
you
my
You are
panel.
Now having fever that, dreams.
You can have whatever Chris Hardwick with your Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman. I had Biz Markie on my panel. Came out, rocked a little Just a Friend.
Wow.
There was a party up in Hall H.
All right.
There you go. It was an odd Comic-Con for me.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Comic-Con, a lot of details spilled about the Ant-Man movie that's coming up. Very exciting. Ant-Man. Paul Rudd, of course, will play Ant-Man.
Sure.
Michael Douglas plays Dr. Hank Pym, the original Ant-Man. I'll tell you guys that, right?
Then.
Yellow Jacket. The villain will be played by Corey Stoll, and Evangeline Lilly has been added to the cast as well. So
lame.
Hardly lame with Evangeline Lilly in it.
But Ant-Man.
Ant-Man rocks.
Seriously.
You don't know.
Lame.
That Corey Stoll, by the way, is having quite a year with between House of Cards and The Strain and now Ant-Man.
Yep. Megan Fox is weak.
Attractive?
She's weak.
Weak?
Weak.
What?
She was talking about her kid, Bodie. She's got a son named Bodie.
Okay.
And she said once when she was caring for Bodie, he peed right through his diaper onto her, which happens with babies.
Yeah.
When you're a mom, they will pee through a diaper because they have a lot of pee sometimes.
Sure.
And she said it soaked her down, but she was simply too tired to clean herself up.
Oh!
She just laid down and let it air dry.
Oh, no!
Let me tell you something.
No, wait a minute.
I've got a kid. We've been through it. Kevin's got kids. We both know mothers intimately. Our wives are both mothers. No mother's ever been that tired. Unless she was hit with a trank dart while she was holding the baby and passed out. You're never too tired to change your urine-soaked clothing.
It doesn't really take much energy.
Not really.
Hardly any at all.
She has taken her clothes off for lesser reasons.
She laid down in the pee?
She just laid down with it soaked and she just let it air dry.
Ugh.
She's
that's less hot than other things she's done.
She's lovely.
Megan Fox, Megan Fox, oh Megan Fox.
Megan Fox song. Haven't heard that in a while. Pee?
Seriously, if pee? If somebody pees on you, all right.
Are you familiar with the plastic surgery reality show Botched over there on the Good E! Channel?
No.
I'm not.
Botched, Lisa. It's a show that's showcases horribly botched plastic surgeries. It really, yep. We really have become the sideshow.
Yeah.
Nation, where we just have to watch the freaks parade by us.
The only thing, I've not seen it, but I did see a report of Janice Dickinson appearing on it.
She was there.
Trying to get some of that fixed.
She got botched, that's for sure. A transgender woman is suing the E! Network because she was kicked off of the plastic surgery show because of her bad boob job, she says. Wait. How bad does your boob job have to be for you to be kicked off a show called Botched? About botched plastic surgery.
Maybe it was too good. Like, maybe it wasn't bad enough. Because I can't imagine.
She said it was because of her bad boob job. Because it was so bad they kicked her off.
You would think they would embrace her.
A transgender boob job failure? That's manna from heaven for E. I'm surprised they didn't give you a spinoff. Something else must have happened she's not telling us about.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Your boob job's too bad to be on Bosch. That's like being too much of a douchebag to be in a show called Bieber. It's just that that's never going to happen. You will be open arms.
Yeah, you'll rise right to the top of that kind of show.
Yeah. All right, let me give away some stuff here before we say goodbye. We have got passes to the K-Rock screening of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yay!
Heroes on a Half Shell. Come on. Sing along.
Isn't that
Beer Mug woke up for the first time today.
Those are the first words he's uttered.
That's right.
That's speaking of Megan Fox, right?
That's right. She's in that. She plays April in that. August 6th at the Arclight Hollywood. That's where the screening's going to be. Man, I love that damn Arclight Hollywood. August 6th. The movie's in theaters everywhere on August the 8th, but you, my lucky friends, will have seen it first. If you call me now at 1-800-520-1067, five callers will get a pair of tickets to see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Tail power! His voice broke, too, like he's a teenager.
Special needs Beer Mug back there is just having the time of his life. Today's celebrity birthdays, Garfield creator.
You love Garfield.
Jim Davis, bane of my existence, 69 years old.
Wonder how much money he's made off that character.
Hundreds of millions of dollars. And I'm not being facetious. It's just it's an insane industry into.
Weekend's catching up with Ralph right now.
It really is.
Right this second.
Actress Lori Loughlin is 50 years old today. UFC president Dana White is 45. And actress Elizabeth Berkley celebrates her 42nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning is the official end of the Kevin and Bean Show. As we've decided to have Aaron Semmel on the program, who shotguns a beer every day. That guy is a guest on our show.
But he's doing it at iconic places all over Los Angeles. It's a tribute to Los Angeles as much as it is him shotgunning a beer a day.
Right, but in the end...
365 days.
Is he doing anything different than shotgunning a beer every day?
He's doing it all in special places all over L.A. And I think K-Rock is a special place in Los Angeles.
Okay.
So it all makes sense.
All right, so we're good with it?
I'm excellent with it.
Sarah Shahi.
Yeah.
Got to catch up with her at Comic-Con over the weekend. She's only the best.
Hi, Sarah Shahi. Did you say that to her when you saw her?
He wasn't there.
It was, good.
It's just me.
We dodged a bullet.
And Nathan Fielder will also be in studio tomorrow. He's got that show, Nathan, for You. So we'll talk to him as well. That's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.